Hello, Stajoka. Good evening. God bless you. Welcome. We're just opening the room and waiting for others to join. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Blow the trumpet in Zion, Zion. Sound the alarm on my holy mountain. Blow the trumpet in Zion, Zion. Sound the alarm. Blow the trumpet in Zion, Zion. Sound the alarm on my holy mountain. Blow the trumpet in Zion, Zion. Sound the alarm. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining. Room should commence momentarily, just waiting for others to join. Hello, Sister Mary. You cannot be heard when you are in the audience. You have to come to the stage to be heard. What you do is press the little hand button at the bottom right of your screen anytime you want to speak, and then the speakers on stage can bring you up, or the moderators. You can only speak when you are on stage. There's two parts of this room. There is the stage and the listening lounge. As long as you're in the listening lounge, nobody can hear you. You won't even have a mic. But when you get on stage, you'll have a mic. And you'll have the opportunity to either turn the mic on or turn it off when you are on stage. Praise God. Glory to God. All right. Well, we are just waiting a few more minutes and we will be starting. I think we have an interesting topic here to put everyone on alert because of the times that we are in. And we're hoping that others will join us. Feel free to share the room because we got to get the message out. Share it on Clubhouse. Sister Elaine, welcome. Jasmine, welcome. So what do we have here? Seducers getting worse, deceiving and being deceived. You might remember that there is a warning in the Bible about that. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So, we are going to be talking about that in just a bit. Welcome you to the room, and hopefully others will join us. I pray that the Lord will bless us as we admonish one another. One of the things that the scripture does say is, as you see the day approaching, we should admonish one another. Lest some people should let the things they have heard slip or be taken over by the deceitfulness of sin. There's a lot of deceitfulness in these last days. Holy Spirit warned us thoroughly about that in many scriptures. Jesus himself spoke about wolves in sheep's clothing. Scriptures tell us about, you know, people that look like wolves inside, but inside they are ravening wolves. They look like sheep on the outside, but on the inside they're ravening wolves. And we're going to set a foundation for this today. One of the things we're going to be talking about is having our spiritual senses alerted. I know we did a room about this discerning of spirits maybe a week or so ago. Spiritual discernment and discerning of spirits, I think we called it. That's a good one too, that people ought to listen to it. If you missed that one, you might want to check out the replay. That was a good one. Today, we want to give this sound of alarm out. Jesus said, let him that hath an ear hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. And he that hath an ear should hear what the Spirit is still saying to the churches. Jesus also warned and said, you know, blind leaders of the blind, they both fall into the ditch. Well, and I'd like to say that you don't have to fall into a ditch with anyone if you keep your own eyes open. Both of them have to be both blind. The two of them have to both be blind in order for them to both fall into ditch. You know, if at least one of them is not blind, then they can escape the ditch. So it's our responsibility to not be blind. It's our responsibility to heed the warnings. you know, Paul himself, he gave warnings to the early church. He said, look, I know that after my departure, you know, there will be terrible wolves that will come in and try to scatter the flock. That was way back then. You know, how much more today? So let's just consider and take a minute as we pray. Father, we thank you for the entrance of your word brings light. And we pray that this light will shine our hearts and give understanding to the simple and help us to take heed to ourselves. Scripture says, take heed to thyself and to the doctrine. Help us to take heed to ourselves and to be warned. Even as Jesus often said, lo, I have told you before. So Lord, we thank you. We give you all praise and glory in Jesus' name. And I want to ask you, as you saw the title of the room, what came to mind? You know, you don't have to answer, just think about it. You know, the text is taken from 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 13. Evil men and seducers, we are told, shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Why should anyone be deceived? I mean, there's always going to be evil. The Bible says that offenses must needs come. You know, but woe unto that man from whom it comes. Well, you know, offenses must come. They can do their thing, but why should I be deceived? You know, it's my responsibility to make sure I am not deceived. You know, but the Bible still gives serious warnings that at the end of the age, you know, there will be so many similarities that the evil vine will have to the true vine, that if it's not by the grace of God, if it were possible, even the elect might be deceived. But Jesus, in one of his many parables, in Matthew chapter 13, where he talked about the parable of the wheat and the tares, he spoke about something like that. When the good seed was planted at night while men slept, the Bible says an enemy came and planted tares among the wheat. And so in the morning when the servants got up and they said, Lord, did you not plant good seed? How come there be tares among them? Should we go and pluck them up? And Jesus said, the master said, no, let them alone and let them be for now. Let them both grow together until the end. And at the end, the harvesters will come and separate. And Jesus gave interpretation of that very parable. He said the field is the world, the seed is the word of God. The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man, which is Christ himself. The enemy that planted the evil seed is the devil. The good seed are the children of God, and the evil seed are the children of the wicked one. So we see that there is a mingling, has always been, of good and evil. Jesus said, let them both grow together. While you're trying to pluck out the evil when they are still very young, they look alike. The grass and the wheat and the wheat, I mean, weeds look alike. So let them just grow. When they are fully grown, you'll see them the way they really are. The wheat will bring forth the ear, you know, the corn and the full corn and all of that. And then the other one will continue to look like grass and wheat, and it'll be very apparent at the time. But they will be gathered together in bundles. The tares will be. The bundling is happening now. And cast into the fire. The wheat will be cast, he said, will be sifted and enter into his barn. So, what does this all mean? Well, what it all means is keep our eyes open. Let's keep our eyes open. One of the reasons why people get deceived is when we do not learn to hear from God ourselves or recognize or know the voice of God by ourselves. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. A stranger they will not follow because they know not the voice of strangers." Well, that's the ideal thing. Unfortunately, many people follow many strange voices. And there are people who appear in sheep's clothing, but they are really ravenous wolves on the inside to make merchandise of the people. And it's really sad that people fall for these things. Jesus said, "Freely you have received, freely give." But there are people today that are trying to sell the grace of God. Sell healing, sell prophecy, sell a word, sell everything. They will put a price to it even sometimes. It's almost like an auction. If you want this kind of blessing, then you got to sow this kind of seed, they call it. Or if you want to this and that, then you got to sow this amount of money, they call it. And the whole thing is just confusion. And it's a big mess. But unfortunately, people fall for it anyhow. There are many scammers in the world. And there are also religious scammers. Religious scammers use a religious soundbites to scam the people. It sounds real. It sounds, you know, it's loaded with just religious soundbites. But the ultimate goal is to make merchandise of the people. And when we do not discern these things, we fall into their pernicious ways, fall into those errors. So God is warning us to be careful now. And the way to be careful is we must know the God's voice ourselves. And we must learn to hear from God ourselves. The children of Israel never wanted to hear from God. And so when Moses was away for just 40 days, they heaped to themselves the golden calf because they would never could hear from God themselves. And people do not know how to hear from God themselves. They're going to open themselves wide to become a prey. And some of these evil men and seducers who are deceiving, waxing worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived, they're getting bolder and bolder by the minute. But everybody must take their stand. Let's make sure we don't fall for any of these gimmicks. That's what I like to call them. Gimmicks. And many of those, even on this app, which this app is a great tool, can be used to reach many people for the Lord, can be used to bring encouragement, can be used to bring admonition. But in the hands of perpetrators of evil and seducers, they can actually use it to deceive many. So we like to warn people to say, look, have your eyes wide open and don't let anyone make merchandise of you. And here is another thing to keep in mind. When someone starts to use the name of the Lord to gather finances while they're trying to sell you a miracle
or sell you a prophecy or a word, then that should be a red flag already. You know, one of the very first commandments is, I am the Lord thy God, and thou shalt not take the name of thy Lord, the God, in vain. People don't know what that really means. Well, there's a lot of people that are taking the name of the Lord in vain. When they say, the Lord said, when the Lord has not said, that's taking the name of the Lord in vain. And when they dangle these things in front of people, you know, and there's so many tricks up the sleeves. And unfortunately, people who fall for these things, they do not use sound judgment and discretion. They use no prudence at all. You know, they just follow. The scripture once in the book of Proverbs says that, look, a bird, as a bird hasteneth to the snare, doesn't know that it's for his life. So does a fool, you know, hasten to his own destruction. So there's a snare there. The bird rushes to it, doesn't know that it's really a snare. Well, but it is a snare. And there's a snare out there many times that are dangled in front of people. And people can't see that it's a snare, but it is a snare. And some people get too deep and they can't get out. They lose everything they have. And also sometimes, you know, once they submit to these things, then, you know, people, the evil powers, the seducing powers, you know, actually have power over their minds. And people, some of these seducers use all kinds of gimmicks, tactics, control, fear, and everything to, you know, to try to take control over the minds of the people. And when you do that, or anyone that does that, that's tantamount to witchcraft. I mean, witchcraft is the same as trying to have control over people. For whatever reason, especially for evil reasons. You know, so it is everybody's responsibilities to watch out and not fall into the ditch along with the blind leaders. But quite naturally, the people like something that looks glamorous. Sometimes it looks like the real thing, but not all that glitters is gold. And sometimes something that looks real is not real at all. Most of the time it's counterfeit, but counterfeit looks so close to the real that some people cannot discern the difference. Well, it's very easy. You walk in the spirit, you won't fall for these things. You can discern, you know, because the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. And if people are not pointing people back to the Lord, and if ultimately it is to point to themselves, you know, and try to use some trickery and stuff like that, you know, to get you to quote unquote sow money, like they say it, and all these other things, then you can tell right away that that's not from the Lord. But people can't understand that. You know, just because somebody says something that appears to be in the name of the Lord, even if it comes to pass, the Bible says that, look, there are warnings when they try to tell you to do things that are not according to the word. When they try to tell you to go after other gods or change the word of the Lord somehow. Watch the direction they go. Gift or no gift. But at this time, my heart goes out to many people who have been tricked. Some people have been tricked into, you know, even losing their funds. You know, and they give up everything through trickery and wizardry, I would say, Because, I mean, I don't understand how somebody cannot, you know, use their senses, you know, unless, you know, they've been enchanted. But people of God should not fall for enchantment. Numbers 23 and 23 says there should be no enchantment against Jacob, neither any divination against Israel. But that's when they are walking in the light. They're not walking in the light. Unfortunately, people may be enchanted. Well, there is still hope to get out quickly. Well, there is still opportunity. The spider's web, once he casts his web out there, it looks really nice and attracting, and then, you know, attracting the insects and things like that. You know, but when the insect jumps into that web, the spider does nothing while the insect is at the outskirts of the web and waits until the insect crawls in a little bit, gets to the point of no return, and that spider snaps that thing. And that's it. You know, no escape after that. So the time is now that people should escape for their lives. You know, people have been drawn into this evil. You better escape for your life. Unfortunately, there's not a lot of people here listening to this at the moment, but I hope some others will listen to the replay. Escape for your life. You know, don't be drawn into any of these schemes. And it is very important that we use wisdom and discretion in our lives. There are many ways that the devil will try to gain advantage. Fear mongering is one of them. Try to gain advantage into the minds of the people. But the Lord will have us to be, you know, to be vigilant. Be vigilant, 1 Peter 5 and 8, and sober, for your adversary, the devil, going around as a roaring lion looking for whom he may devour. Well, thankfully, he cannot devour everybody. Otherwise, he would just be devouring and not looking. But he's looking for the simple ones that have strayed away from the truth. The Bible even warns us that in the last days, you know, people will not endure sound doctrine. But they are going to, you know, because they have itching ears, they'll heap to themselves all kinds of teachers and tell them. I mean, I've been on this app, and it is, again, a wonderful app. And there's some really good people here. But then you go into some of this, of course, I don't go there anymore. But initially, when I came on this app, I was going everywhere just trying to figure out what's going on. And there was no sound doctrine in most places. It was just a bunch of nonsense, you know, and people were going after these things. A lot of it was golden calf. It was just like the golden calf, you know, and people were getting drawn into these things, and they go in so deep that they can't even come out. And unfortunately, you know, some of them were really wounded. So sad. I heard the story of a young woman who was tricked in one of these rooms to give everything she had. You know, and then she began to be in want after she gave that. And then she couldn't even pay her rent. You know, and then she began to go into other rooms asking for prayer. You know, and I was in one of the rooms where the prayer was being made, and I was like, what's that? What are we praying about? What kind of prayer is this? You know, people should better open their eyes wide and don't get yourself sucked into something that is going to leave you wounded like that. People talk about even, you know, different tricks that are used, you know, to get people to succumb to giving away their money. You know, I've heard so-called prophets or preachers that tell people to sow something, so that they can get something. And I often wonder, I mean, if that's really how we do it, you know, just sow certain money so that you can get certain blessing. Well, why doesn't the preacher do that themselves? I mean, if you are a preacher and you are in need of $50,000, say, and then you are trying to get people to sow so that they can be blessed because you actually want to get that money. Why don't you sow so that you can be blessed and get that money? That's all gimmicks. That's all nonsense. You know, and people fall for those tricks. But I tell you how, you know, real giving works. Even tithing, people don't understand it at all. You know, there's even churches where, you know, people are forced to give their money and all that nonsense. But I'll tell you, there is what we call the law of first mention. And the law of first mention in the Bible concerning tithing, you'll find it in Genesis chapter 14. When Abraham met Melchizedek, the story of how he met Melchizedek. Melchizedek was the priest of God. If you read Hebrews chapter 7, you'll find out that he was actually God couched, theophany in human form. Because he says he's having neither beginning of life nor end of days. Having neither father nor mother. Well, and that had to be God. But if we look at the law of first mention there, the first time ever that even the word tithing was used in the Bible, that's why we call it the law of first mention. It was Melchizedek and Abraham that were engaged in that exchange. And Abraham, that's what he was called at the time, when he was returning from the slaughter of, you know, some of those kings that he had gone after to bring back the goods, you know, when they had captured his brother Lot. You know, he says that Melchizedek in chapter 14 of Genesis, verse 18, king of Salem, met this guy. And he was the priest of the Most High, and he blessed him. Melchizedek blessed Abraham. And you can read in Hebrews, he said, the lesser is blessed of the greater. Melchizedek blessed Abraham and said, blessed be the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And, you know, and he blessed him. Blessed be Abraham also of the God of heaven. You know, so he blessed him, which had delivered. Blessed be the Most High God who has delivered thine enemies into thy hands. And after he blessed him, Abraham gave him tithes of all. This is the first mention of the word tithes in the entire Bible. So if we go by the law of first mention, we will see that there was no commandment here. You know, but this happened by revelation. This happened by revelation. Nobody commanded Abraham to give tithes to this Melchizedek figure, but it must have come to him by revelation. With that idea, I say that even tithing is by revelation. Till today, that's the way it's got to be, the correct way to do it. Because the commandment that came many, many 400 years or so after that could not take away the covenant of revelation. This man did it by revelation. But see how it happened. First he was blessed, then he gave. It's not the other way around. You know, people tell us today, give so that you can be blessed. Well, that's not the way it was here. First, Melchizedek blessed Abraham, and then Abraham gave. You know, this was how he did it. And all the people, you know, many people after that, even Jacob in Genesis 28, he gave tithes. Genesis 28, verses 20 to 22. There was no law. There was no commandment. But he also gave tithes. And then these people, how did they, why? How did they do it? Well, a tithe is a tenth
of all their increase, right? So they gave tithes, but there was no commandment. You know, but there was commandment made later on. In Leviticus 27, you'll find commandments in verses 30 to about 32 of tithes and so forth. But some of these people gave tithes way before commandment was given. I mean, Abraham didn't, you know, even have a child when he met Melchizedek. And all these people, the Levites and so on, they are way, way, way down descendant line of Abraham. But Abraham gave tithes way before the commandment was even came. You know, this Levitical priesthood, who actually, they put a levy, put a levy on people, you know, give tithes and all of that. You can read in Hebrews chapter 7, you know, some concept that is developed there in verse 11. It will tell you that there's a difference actually between giving of tithes by revelation and paying of tithes by commandment. You know, so, you know, we see that this, you know, this Melchizedek person who came to, you know, who came to Abraham, to whom Abraham gave tithes of all, you know, let me read earlier from verse 7. Without all contradiction, this is Hebrews 7 and 7. The less is blessed of the better. So this is talking about, in fact, I think I should read further down, further out. Let me start at verse 5. Verily, they that are the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law. So that's fine. That is of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them, you know, that's Melchizedek. He received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promises. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And here men die that received tithes, but he received them over there, of whom it is witness that he lived. Now, as I may so say, Levi also, who received tithes, paid tithes in Abraham. So Levite was paying tithes. Well, you know, Levi was the man, I mean, it was through their lineage that all these things came, and they were paying of tithes. But if you go back to verse 4, you will see that Abraham said, now consider how great this man was, who was Melchizedek, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of all his spoils. So Abraham gave. He didn't pay anything. He gave. You know, because it was by revelation. And you pay, well, that's, you're paying maybe a levy. You know, the Levites and the levy, you know, all those words go together. You know, maybe you are paying because there is a levy on what you should pay. But when you give, it's by revelation. Now, Abraham gave tithes. He didn't pay anything. He didn't owe anything. So there's nothing to pay. He gave the tithes freely by himself. So did Jacob give tithes of all the increase of the land. They all gave tithes before the law to pay tithes. So, and even the paying of tithes, you know, people misunderstand it even up to today. You know, they just consider that it's only the money. But it wasn't even about money at all. It was all of their increase. And in fact, there's other things to be said about that. I'm not teaching on tithing today, so I don't want to go too deep into that. But there's other things to be said about that. If people are going to do that, or even those who do it, they don't do it well and properly. Because the Bible does say that we have to honor the Lord with the first fruits of all that increase, not the last fruits. A lot of people give tithes on their last fruits. You know, after the government has taken their own. I mean, here in the United States, pay a lot of taxes. The government takes their own. 401k program takes its own. 503 program takes its own. FSA, HSA, all these things, they take their own, and then they give you your paycheck, which is almost half of what you started with, after they've taken all these other deductions, and then you give a tithe of that. That's actually wrong. If you're going to pay tithes at all, which you want to pay, I would say you should be giving tithes rather than paying and being under condemnation. And when you want to give tithes, you should give from the top, not from the bottom, because you need to honor the Lord with the first fruits of all that increase, according to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 to 10. But that, anyway, that's by the way. The thing, though, is this. People are coerced into these things, both on apps such as this, on social media and everywhere, and even on the ground. People are coerced, and people live under condemnation. I've even been told, and I've heard stories of people that were visited by their church leadership and asked them to bring out their payslip so they can examine how much they were paid versus how much they gave in tithes. I was like, are you kidding me? There's all kinds of confusion just going on. And people fall for all of this. Bible says that blind leaders of the blind will both fall together. They will fall into the ditch. But I always say people that look, you're blind, your leader may be blind, but you don't have to be blind. If you're not blind, then you're not both going to fall into the ditch. It takes the two of them to be blind in order to both fall into the ditch. So open your eyes wide open. Praise God. Now that blessing, there is a blessing for giving. And, when you give, God loves a cheerful giver. When you give out of the increase that God has already given you. But if you know how to do it too, when you give, you can enter into a covenant with God. When he blesses you and you give, and then you turn around and say, Lord, I also give you this, and I trust in you for other things. That's fine too. You can do that. But it's not a commandment. It's by revelation. Now, when the commandment is given that you must sow a certain amount in order for you to get your miracle, then you should already have your antennas up that that is falsehood. You need to get away from that. But people don't understand that. They're falling for these things. I've heard things said even that make it look like it's an auction. You know how they auction off goods, auction off a word, a prophetic word. You auction up a healing, a prophecy, for you to get this kind of thing, you have to sow this amount of money and all that nonsense. People are trying to auction off. And, the reason for all of that is because people don't want to hear from God themselves. And I've been hammering on this thing, and as long as God gives me the grace, I will continue to hammer on it. People need to hear from God themselves. When you don't want to hear from God yourself, you're going to set yourself up for this kind of thing. When God said to the children of Israel in Exodus 19 and 5, if you will obey my voice indeed, well, for you to obey his voice, you have to hear his voice. Hear my voice and obey it, you will be unto me a kingdom of priests. That was his invitation. And at first they said, yep, we're going to do it. But no, they didn't do it. Later on in Exodus 20, they told Moses, we cannot hear the voice of God. If we hear his voice, we will die. You go hear the voice for us and then come and tell us. And I'm like, my goodness, why in the world would anybody want to not hear God's voice? I would die to hear his voice all the time. Why? And they removed afar off. They didn't want any part of God. Well, okay. When they didn't want any part of God, then Moses became a prophet unto them. You know, God wanted to speak directly to these people. They would not hear. They told Moses, you go here. And so that's the definition of prophet. That's where it came from. Moses became a prophet to them. But that was not God's plan. They were supposed to be a kingdom of priests that had direct relationship with God. But, you know, but fast forward to when Moses would go, you know, Moses went to the mount a couple of times. And when he went away for 40 days and they couldn't find him, you know, the next thing they do is, well, we don't know what has become of this Moses. He's been gone for a long time, so we really don't know. You know, maybe, maybe something happened to him or not. We don't know. So up, Aaron, get you up. Make us gods, you know, and so forth like that. Are you kidding me? I mean, these are people who have seen all the miracles of God. They've heard his, I mean, they've seen all the things that God did. And now you are going to compare that to, you know, some golden image that you guys are going to craft by yourself. I mean, how ridiculous can these people be? But it may sound ridiculous, but that's because they never wanted to hear from God themselves. And so that's what happens when people do not want to hear from God themselves. Exodus chapter 32 said, when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, then they gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said, look, make us gods to go before us. For as for this Moses, we don't know what happened to him, you know. And then they began, the golden calf came out of that. So when God, I did a room like this even some months ago, you can listen to the replay. Say, when God delays, or when the answer from God delays in coming, is the golden calf next? You know, the golden calf will be next when people have not learned how to hear the voice of God. So the man who is their medium, Moses was their medium. Moses was the man that can hear from God. The rest of them couldn't hear anything or didn't want any part of God. So when the medium is away now for 40 days, it seems too long, you know, so they have to look for some other medium. And so they're chasing. And this is the problem with people today. People are always looking for some prophetic word somewhere. They want a prophetic word, they go to this room. They want a prophetic word, they go to that room. They want a prophetic word, they go down over here. They want a prophetic word, they go to this church or this place. And that's so. You know, whereas God said, I will be your God and you'll be my people. God wants you to have a direct relationship. He made you kings and priests directly with him. But no, people are walking in this, oh, you know, I want to hear. And you know, people love to hear sweet things. Or like, you know, it's your season of blessing. That's one way that can draw people in. You tell them that, oh, it's their season of blessing. You can draw people in easily like that. It's easy. Because people love to hear those things. You know, oh, it's your season of blessing and so forth. But I want to tell you, let me declare to you right now, God is not a seasonal God. God is not a God of seasons. We use seasons only at our own in our own dimension, only in our own realm. You know, God put the lights out there, not for himself, you know, but for us to be day and night. God has no day and night. He has no time. He has no seasons. You know, but seasons, yeah, are for us just because we don't know, we have no entry into the realm where God is at. So that's why we have these seasons. But if you enter into the realm of God, you don't need to go in and out of any season. You know, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, not, you know, standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his light doth he meditate day and night, Psalm 1. And he shall be like a tree that's planted by rivers of living waters, whose leaves fail none, bringing forth his fruit in his season. And his wheat shall not wither. Nothing will wither. He's always in season. Now, God is not a God of seasons, but he's a God of all seasons. You know, every season, you know, it's the same with God. He's always the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. Nothing changes about him. We are the ones that change. He's not a seasonal God. Today is the time that you'll be blessed.
tomorrow, it's not your time. Well, as long as we keep on believing that, then there will be a prophetic word for you to draw you in that season. Yeah, there are seasons and times they are in his hands. But look, you know, you can have out of season or in season blessing all the time. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you a story in the book of Mark chapter 11. When Jesus came, you know, we were passing by Bethany and so forth, and they saw this fig tree, which afar off looked like it had a fruit because it had leaves, and it had the appearance that it had something going for it. You know, so if it had been completely dead and dried and withered away tree, Jesus would not even have, you know, bothered to come close to it. You know, but because it looked like it had something going, it had the appearance. Jesus said, look, in Revelation 3:2, he said, you have the appearance that you live, but you are dead. This thing had the appearance of something, but it was actually dead. So when Jesus came closer, he saw no fruit on it. And there is a commentary in the Bible that says, for the time of figs was not yet. You can read that in Mark 11, you know, and verse 13. He came thinking he would find fruit on it, because the thing looked like it had fruit. But he even came there, it had no fruit. You know, and he actually said, in the defense of the tree, the writer of this gospel said, well, it was not yet time for figs. So it was not yet the season. Notice, it wasn't the season. Jesus didn't care about season when he got there. You know, season or no season, this thing better be producing fruit for the master. So when he got there, the thing is thinking, well, it's not season. It's not the time of figs yet. Jesus said, look, I came to you and you did not have fruit, so you are done. Nobody eat of you anymore. And you didn't care whether it was the season or not the season. This whole thing about, oh, it's your season, yeah, it's not your season. God uses that only because of his mercies, because we go in and out of his realm. So at a certain season, an angel will come and stir the pool. We understand that. But only for the mercy of God. You know, you can be with the Lord and not have to go in and out. The Bible says that with God, there is no variableness or shadow of turning. The book of James, there's no variableness and there's no shadow of turning. What does that mean? Well, it means that God does not have seasons and he doesn't have mood swings up and down. One day, yeah, it's time to bless you. Another day, no, it's not yet your season. Well, as long as we keep believing that, then, you know, somebody can dangle something in front of you and say, yeah, you know, it's now time for you to get your season. And then when you believe that, and all of that is good as long as you are pointed to the Lord and there is no merchandising with that. It may truly be God is calling for a season of blessing for his people. And I believe that, and I preach that all the time. You know, but when we do preach it, it's because God called for it. And there is no merchandising with it. You know, you just turn the hearts of the people to the Lord to believe God for whatever it is they are believing God for. But the moment you attach merchandising to it, then it becomes something that is false, it's low, and it is counterfeit. You know, and it is like evil men who are seducers, are deceiving and being deceived. They're waxing worse and worse. That's our text today, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 13. So you got to be careful, because there's all these things all around us. And nobody can blame somebody else, because we all have the word of God. Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 20 tells you, gift of no gift. If they do not speak according to this word, always go back to the law and the testimony to check it out. And if they do not speak according to this word, it's because there's no light in them. Gift or no gift. You know, and people should never be afraid of any gift. Anything that makes you afraid like that is not even from God. God doesn't use the element of fear, you know, to try to get you to give him money or something like that. What does he need your money for? He looks for your obedience and he looks for your worship. Actually, giving is a part of worship. You know, that's what Abraham did. That's what Jacob, all these people, when they brought their gifts, worship the Lord. The Lord said, look, you have wearied me with your sins. You have not even given me the little goat or the lamb and so forth. You're not worshiping me with your thing. You wearied me with your sins. You know, so, you know, he said, look, you can read that in Isaiah 41, perhaps around verse 21 or so. So it is time for us to get our minds straight and not to be led away with all this merchandising. Now, evil will always be out there. Offenses must needs come. Jesus said it himself. You know, but woe unto the person by whom he comes. The birds must need fly over the, are on the sky, in the sky. Now, that's good. I can't prevent that. But most certainly, no bird's going to land on my head. You can fly over my head, but you are not landing on my head. You know, so it's our responsibility to make sure, you know, that even when evil men and seducers are out there, they are seducing and being seduced and being deceived. When they are out there, don't worry about it. They can do their thing. But stay away from it if you can. But I tell you what, don't fall for it. By all means, don't fall for that. Because the Lord doesn't want us to do that. We need to have our senses exercised to discern good and evil. You can read that in Hebrews chapter 5. If you don't have your senses exercised and you don't know how to discern good and evil, then little things like this are going to take advantage of you. So, ladies and gentlemen, what are we saying? We are saying that there are evil people out there that come in wolves. I mean, they come in sheep's clothing. But inside, they are ravening wolves. And their goal is to make merchandise of God's people. And they know the religious lingo. And they know the things to say to get you in. You know, and there was a long time ago. Long time ago, I was a young man. I was in college. And I went to a fellowship. You know, in the university where I was. And one man stood up, brought this big fat Bible, turned out to be like a Scofield Bible or something. I don't know what it was. I think it was, you know, some version of Scofield Bible. And he stood up to give a testimony. I was just a young man, just coming into the Lord then, you know. And so he gave a testimony of how, he knew all the right lingo to say. He even said that he had been an armed robber and things like that. And now, you know, he's giving his life to Christ and he's going from fellowship to fellowship asking for an offering. That thing didn't sound right to me, but I was kind of wondering, but, what is this? Until, until somebody that had the gift of discernment, you know, I didn't at the time, but you know, I was just trying to use my natural senses. But there was a brother that had the gift of discernment. And it turned out that, you know, this guy was all fake. It turned out that he had been going around various fellowships doing that. You know, and he knew the lingo. He knew what to say. You know, every time I remember that, even now, I still laugh. It was just funny, you know. But it wasn't funny when people were bringing out their money. You know, and he was making it look like, oh, he had some. I mean, he wasn't even prophesying anything. He was just saying that, oh, he's been turned around. And he used to live a bad life. And now he's been turned around. Now he's asking for help from the church. But his motives, we were all wrong. He wasn't even saved. He never gave his life to Christ. He just knew some words and some trickery to place up to pray on people. There's a lot of people there out there today. You know, some people just, as long as they can speak in tongues and dangle a few things, you know, they think that, you know, and everybody just falls for that. The devil's speaking tongues. So don't let speaking tongues shock anybody. Now, God gives true speaking in tongues. The Holy Ghost, he gives inspiration. And people speak in tongues for real. You know, I speak in tongues a lot. So I'm not bashing that. But, you know, just because you speak in tongues doesn't mean anything. You know, so, you know, all these people, there is actually no depth at all. There's no doctrine. There's no depth. There is no pointing people back to Christ. There's none of that. It's just a bunch of stuff going on. And people get carried away by all this stuff. And it is just stuff, you know. But the Lord said, I will blow upon them and I will blow them away like chaff among the wheat. And now I need to sound this warning because the Lord said, my fan is in my hand. And I will thoroughly purge my floor and let judgment begin at the house of God. You know, we've had enough of this nonsense, you know, so, but my heart goes out to God's people that are being made merchandise of. And I pray for those also who are doing it, that you know, they might repent and turn back to God. But if they don't repent, then they shall proceed no further because, you know, the hour is late. And, but even if they do proceed, it's everybody's responsibility to take heed how you hear. You know, let the Spirit of God who's talking to you, let your ear be open so that you hear what God is saying and warning, you know, to not follow their pernicious ways. Because of them, the way of truth is being evil spoken of. You know, there are some unbelievers today who the only thing they think about, you know, that, you know, they think that all of, you know, anything about church or Christ or things just about raising money, you know. That's what they think. Because the evil, the way of truth has been evil spoken of by these people. You know, so. And yeah, and there are others also who will not go. I mean, there's this term they call honorarium. I've heard stories where people will not even go and preach anywhere until first, you know, they negotiate the so-called honorarium, you know, and, well, I mean, it's good for us to support, you know, true ministries that are doing the work. Because the Bible, you know, does say that. And that's, you know, there's a place for that. We understand that. But for somebody to, first of all, I mean, that's the only thing they care about. They don't care about, you know, helping the people. They don't care about waiting on the Lord that their message will be of impact to change some stories and change some lives. The first thing they think about is the money they are going to get. And that's just golden calf. That is not even anything. But remember, Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like a woman that took, you know, a measure of leaven and hid it in 3 measures of meal until it was all mixed up. And people think that that means a good thing. No, it's not a good thing. Leaven is never a good thing. It means you take a little poison, you can poison the whole food. You don't need a whole can of poison. And you don't need to show the person that this is a can of poison and you put it in front of them and you think they will eat it when it clearly says poison. No. They put the food out there. The food looks delicious. Now just put a little poison inside. So it's a little leaven that leavens the whole lump. It's not, you don't need a whole lot of leaven. You just need a little leaven. You need a little bit of thing that looks good, looks like it's the real thing. But it's never the real thing because there's never any truth in the devil. When he speaks something, he speaks of his own and there's no truth in him. You know, so it may be facts, but it's never truth. Because if it was truth, he would set the people free. But it's not truth. They may gather facts, but there is no spirit of truth behind it. And it just looks enough like the real thing, and then just mix up a few other things in it, you know, and get all the people all tied up. So entangle yourself, the Bible says. Do not put your neck under the yoke of bondage. And don't entangle yourself with all these kinds of yoke. Loose thyself from the bands around your neck. Isaiah 52 and verse 2. Shake yourself from the dust. And don't be entangled in this nonsense. You know, and we need voices that will cry against all this evil that is going on, supposedly in the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord has been put to disgrace, put to shame. You know, the Bible warned at the beginning, first commandment, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Well, there's this whole thing is taking the name of the Lord in vain. But people, we should not help to perpetrate or continue this nonsense. Detach yourself from this. Glory to God. Now, it's okay to give to, you know, it's okay to give to, you know, if you find a true cause, whether it's gospel, whether it's helping the poor, or whatever you want to do. Whatever the Lord leads you, as many as are led by the children of God, by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Romans 8 and 14. The Lord leads you to give, by all means do that. We're not knocking that. But most certainly, it should not be for the sale of a word, or the purchasing of a word, or the purchasing of a healing. If you have to drop a seed in order to get a prophetic word, you already know that's merchandising. So, you know, let the scales fall off of the eyes of God's people, and let them not continue that nonsense. You know, so there's a lot of people out there that's doing this stuff. They're getting bolder. That's our text today, 2 Timothy 3 and 13. Evil men are getting worse, waxing worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived, you know. So now, they may call themselves by any names that they want, and that's okay. They may call themselves prophet or even apostle or whatever, and that's great. And, you know, if they're a prophet, then let them speak the word of the Lord. You know, a real prophet will bring the word of God. They will bring the word of the Lord. They will bring correction. They will bring admonition. They will bring doctrine. They will point the people back to Christ. When people go astray, a real prophet, that's their job. They will call for repentance. They will call for, you know, they will be like a revivalist. What they do is come out there and get the hearts of people back to God when their hearts are turned away. You know, they will not be out there, you know, speaking and making merchandise of the people or trying, you know, to make a name for themselves. You know, people can make a name for themselves all they want. And that's okay. And Jesus said, look, in Matthew 7 and 21, finally, you know, say, these people will come and say, well, didn't we do all kinds of miracles and stuff in your name? And Jesus said, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never, you know, he didn't even say, I don't know you. You know, I never knew you. Wow. So, where does that leave us today? The Lord also says that, look, my sheep will hear my voice. I keep hammering on that. They will hear my voice, and they will follow me. And they will not hear the voice of strangers, but they will flee from him. Well, but I don't see people fleeing. I see people being drawn. It's like a web. It's pulling people in. But you have to flee from strangers because they have strange fire. You know, it's strange fire in those camps. Strange fire. Doesn't even glorify the Lord. But here's a warning. He said, if a prophet be deceived, when he has spoken a thing. Well, I, the Lord, that, you know, I'm the one that deceived him, the Lord said, and I will also destroy him. Wow. You can read that in Ezekiel chapter 14 and verse 9. That's some serious warnings. You know, a prophet that is deceived when he has spoken a thing. I, the Lord, had deceived that prophet. And I will stretch out my hand upon him, and I will destroy him from the midst of my people. So that's a warning. You know, so don't be afraid of any false prophets. But don't follow their pernicious ways. Separate yourself. And, you know, show yourself that you know the word. You know, the word of God, always go back to it and check it out. Gift or no gift, what are they doing with that gift? And there are some true prophets out here on this app or out there in the world that are encouraging the people to follow the Lord, you know, and to get away from religious systems that are binding them over to the way, the broad way that is leading to destruction. There are some true prophets out there that are calling people to recognize that the coming of the Lord is at hand. And there's also true prophets that are bringing encouragement to the people when they are down. It's not everyone that speaks these kind of words that are fake. You just need to know where their motives are. So blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Well, we're blowing the trumpet now. We're sounding the alarm, but the trumpet must have a clear sound. If the trumpet doesn't give a clear sound, how are people going to know what is piped? If you give a muddled sound, I mean, if we're not clear, that's why I'm using great plainness of speech. You know, I'm calling it out like it is. So, you know, make it very plain. And we're laying the axe to the boot, to the bottom of every tree. The axe is laid to the root of the trees. And every tree that my Father has not planted in Matthew 15 and 13 shall be cut down. Glory to God. So it is time for the Lord to begin this pruning work. And they say, let judgment begin at my house. You know, spare not. In that, let your eye pity. When the Lord, you know, begins to move, yeah, we just pray that people will repent quickly. Quickly. But for the people of God that are being made merchandise of, awake, you know, and come out of slumber. And don't let people pull wool over your eyes. Have your eyes wide open. Hear from the Lord yourself. Glory to God. Some people are even waiting for somebody to come and tell them what to do in their lives. What kind of thing is that? In the New Testament, when you have the Spirit of God? If you don't have the Spirit of God, you got to go to God. Now, God can send confirmation. But confirmation it will be. You must hear from God yourself. I will be your God and you will be my children. I'll be a father unto you. What father does not speak to his child? He must speak directly to you. You need to know and hear from God yourself. And when you do, glory to God, then you have the ability to know his voice. Because you are used to hearing his voice. You have the ability to know his voice as being distinct from the voice of a stranger, because you don't know that voice of stranger. But if you don't know his voice, the voice of a stranger may sound like his voice. And then you end up following the voice of a stranger. And the end of that is no good. So, we need real and true revival. And this true gospel must be preached in all the world for a witness. Matthew 4, 24 and 14. The gospel of the kingdom must be preached. And the last 3 days or so, we did
you know, some series on the kingdom, what it's all about. Must preach that gospel of the kingdom, not the gospel of chasing after something else. You know, not a gospel of prosperity either that people are preaching today. God wants his people to prosper, and he will prosper you. But God was, first of all, number one, be your chief joy. Glory to God. So, ladies and gentlemen, I leave it there today. You know, you heard the word. You know, now it's your turn to do something with it. It's also your turn to propagate the word. And, you know, and some of the other things that people don't know how to do, they don't know how to say no. The children of God, they don't know how to say no. They're so gullible like that, unfortunately. You know, they don't know how to say no or when to say no. But Jesus told this parable in Matthew 25. We call it the parable of the foolish and wise virgins. But there is a severe and strong lesson there in the fact that, you know, the wise virgins, people thought that they were wise because they took extra oil, and that the foolish virgins were foolish because they didn't take extra oil. No, that's what tradition taught us. But tradition is faulty. They were foolish. That's why they did not take extra oil. It wasn't their not taking extra oil that made them foolish. They were already foolish. They couldn't think ahead. They didn't have prudence. And the wise were already wise. They knew, you know, that, you know, the journey might take long, you know, it may be a long time. So they were already wise and they were well prepared. But the key thing that I want to bring out in that story is that the wise, they knew how to say no. And as Jesus told that story himself, so people don't know how to say no. These wise virgins, they knew how to say no. Go get it for yourself. Now today, if you did that, they would say you have no love. You know, you have no love. But Jesus told this story himself. These people said no. But there's a time to say no, and there's a time to say yes. And if you don't know how to say no, because you don't have the, you know, the capacity for sound judgment, then people will make merchandise of you. And there are people that try to make merchandise of people all the time because people don't even know how to say no. But these wise ones, they knew how to say no. They said, no, we don't have enough for ourselves and for you. So you go buy for yourself. So, ladies and gentlemen, you got to learn to say no sometimes. You know, there are times when you say yes, and there are times when you say no. And there are many times when people should have said no, they didn't. And then there's a lot of regret later on. Even when family and people like that, those of us that live abroad, you know, family and everybody from overseas, they're always trying to siphon you dry. You know, just because you live abroad. It's got to be times when you got to say no. You know. And if you don't know how to say no, you're going to have some challenges. You know, the young lady story that didn't know how to say no, you know, she was duped into spending all her money on what she thought was the pursuit of some miracle. And then after that, she couldn't pay her rent. You know, and that was so sad. That was so sad. So let's use wisdom. Let's use sound judgment. You know, and even some people, my wife and I conduct this marriage ministry platform. We'll have another one later on this afternoon. Some people don't know how to say no. Somebody dangles something in front of them, they think that's it. You know, and they fall for it. The Holy Ghost, meanwhile, checking them inside their stomach. There's this thing, gut check, people call it that. It's really the Holy Ghost that brings that red big flag, but they don't listen. You know, and then they follow on, and then there's disaster afterwards. And then they end up with you know, problems. And I often tell people, look, if you don't know how to use sound judgment, You don't know how to use discretion. You don't know how to make a sound decision with all your senses exercised. You're going to make a big mistake when you're trying to make a big decision like who to marry. For those who are single, we deal with a lot of singles. You know, and when you make that big mistake, you end up, instead of having, if you marry the right person, you have a prayer partner. You make that kind of mistake, you have a prayer point all your life. And then regret sets in. So you got to know when to say yes. You got to know when to say no. There's deceivers also in that arena. You know, there's deceivers everywhere. Deceivers of, you know, men trying to deceive women and so forth. There's deceivers in all arenas. So we've laid it out there. I cannot cover everything on account of time. I'm going to leave it there for now. But let him that hath an ear hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. What is the Spirit saying to the churches? Beware lest no man deceive you, and let no man take thy crown. Open your eyes wide. Don't follow any blind leaders so you don't both fall into the ditch. Let them fall into the ditch by themselves. If they want to fall into it, that's their own problem. Don't fall in the ditch with them. Have your eyes open. You know, and learn from the Holy Spirit how to hear his voice yourself. You know, so nobody will be dangling anything in front of you. People dangle this word. Oh, they've heard from God. So they have a word for you to dangle that and you fall for that. Hear from God yourself. Hallelujah. My sheep hear my voice. If you are his sheep, you got to hear his voice. That's one of the qualifications. You got to hear his voice yourself. Praise God. Now, does God speak through prophet? Absolutely. You know, but first and foremost, he speaks to you as an individual. And you are not responsible for what somebody else comes to say. You know, you need to hear from God yourself. Hallelujah. So if we don't learn to do that, we will be looking for a word here and there, here and there, here and there all the time. And people become easy victims when we are in that posture. So ladies and gentlemen, that's our lesson for today. I acknowledge everyone that's in the room. Hey, Pastor Stokes, good to see you there. And Michelle and Elaine and Phyllis and Samantha. Thank you all so much. Patricia, Benjamin, thank you for being here. Sister Watkins, God bless you for being here. Good to see you again. And thank you, Sister Mary. Good to see you. God bless you. Feel free to join us in the conversation. Let's have a chat around this topic before we close. You heard my side. You heard my spiel. Let's hear yours. You know, so come to the stage and give your, you know, give your reaction. You know, and let's hear what the Lord is saying to you as well. So for you to do that, hit the little hand raising button in the lower right hand corner of your screen. That indicates that you want to speak. And we'll bring you to the stage to speak. You know, so I thank you for being here, everyone. We're not closing the room yet. We're giving everyone an opportunity to react and speak to this. We want to hear from you. We want to hear what the Lord is saying to you as well. You know, perhaps the Lord, as I was speaking, was even taking you into a deeper dimension. The Word will do that for you, you know. When the Word of God is being spoken and you are engaging God in the Spirit, it's very important. You will hear a word and the Holy Spirit will take you into another dimension, even deeper than what the speaker is saying. Why? Because that's what Jesus said. John 6 and 63. He said, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing. So when you engage him in the Spirit, say the words I speak, they are spirit and life. And he will take you into other dimensions, open your understanding up. And that's why I always love to hear from people after I deliver a lesson.
I want to hear from others. See what the Lord told you while you were listening. You know. Or even if you have a question or you have a prayer request. And let's do it. But the next few minutes before we close the room, you know, come on up. Press the raise your hand. And let's hear from you. In the meantime, I will let my wife. Somebody is raising their hand. Let me see if I can bring them up. Sometimes this app is funny like that. Sister Phyllis, I'm trying to bring you to the stage. I hope it works. Yeah. Oh, that's good. Finally, it's there. So, Lady Ebon, are you there? Let's hear from you first. Okay, if not, I'll hear from Sister Phyllis. Good to see you again. Welcome.
Yes, good afternoon, everyone. This was such a powerful teaching, and we need to continue to sound the alarm about the seducers. There's just so much deception going on in the body of Christ, and people are turning away from God, thinking that they're doing something for God, but they're in a, you were talking about how the people, they only wanted to hear from Moses. And that's where I see a lot that's going on, even in some of these churches, that they're looking for validation just from the leader. They only want to hear from the leader. And we could really miss out on God if we're not trying to hear the voice of God for ourselves. God, he wants us to have a personal relationship with him. And I've been in some rooms, and you know, and I try to express how important it is that we have a relationship with ourselves. So one of the things I would like for you to highlight on, Pastor Yato, in reference to what you're saying, is that a lot of people that I run across, they feel like that they need to hear from the leader, that, you know, they can't move, they can't go out and do anything unless they get a permission from the leader. And a lot of times God may have a call on their life, but they're standing still because even though God is telling them one thing, the leader is telling them something contrary to what God is telling them that they need to do. So I know that we need to make sure that we are around wise counseling and everything, but I'm hoping that you could provide some balance for those who feel like they can't move unless their leader is telling them that they can go and do whatever it is that God is telling them to do.
Thank you so much, Sister Phyllis. I think you answered your own question there. You know, there is God, and then, you know, there are people that God puts in position, not as overlords. This is what people forget. He said we should take care of the flock of God. We should feed the flock, not as overlords and not as even for filthy lucre, you know, but, you know, we should take care of the, you know, and in the olden days, like I said in the story, that these people didn't want to hear from God. So Moses was the prophet, was the go-between. Well, we've got the Holy Spirit now. You know, everybody must exercise their own spiritual senses to learn the voice of God themselves. I mean, it's okay if you don't know the voice of God initially. I mean, Samuel was an altar boy, and he didn't know the voice of God. He was sleeping on the altar every night, but he still didn't know God. You know, and so, you know, Eli had to teach him that, oh, that must be the voice of God. So when he speaks to you next, here's what you say. And finally, Samuel figured it out. And once he figured it out, he became a mighty man of God, because God was always speaking to him after that. So, you know, now people need to look. Yes, we do have spiritual leaders, and I am a spiritual leader myself. You know, I'm pastor here at a local church and all that stuff. You know, so I'm not bashing or knocking that. However, my role, the scripture says, is we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves, your servants, for his sake. So we don't stand in the place of God, you know, trying to make something. Look, when people think that they are so much Read the story in Numbers 20. I was saying it just in my room yesterday. And we had the early morning room. I don't know. Was it yesterday or today? I forget. We were talking about it there. You know, Moses, you know, he was a great man of God. Nobody like him up to that point. And incredible things that he had done and seen and moved with God and heard God and glory and everything. But, you know, at one point in time, you know, his tongue got him in trouble. But he also, you know, used the wrong language when he said, "Shall we fetch water for you out of this rock?" As if he's the one God's going to do it. Listen, you're not the one that's going to do anything. I don't know why these leaders insert themselves in the way of God's people. You know, they won't enter in and they won't let those who will enter in. Jesus spoke about this thing. He said, look, these people, they be blind gates and blind leaders. They, you know, they compass land and sea to make one proselyte, and when they do, they make them twice the child of hell, because they will block their way. They will not enter in, and they will not let people enter in. What people need to do is point people to Christ. Praise God. Now, you know, so there's a lot of unsolicited advice going on, not just because people don't even want to hear from God. People should be developed. The leaders should be developing people to hear from God and should be training them, like Eli was training Samuel. Train your people to hear the voice of God and train them what to do when God speaks to them, you know, and so forth like that. And let's not put ourselves in the way of God's people. Now, for anyone, you know, I'll tell you a quick story. And I did this story last week in one of my early morning rooms. This story, Sister Phyllis, is in 1 Kings chapter 13. And it bears exactly on what you said. There was a young prophet. We're not told his name. It was a powerful prophet. He went and prophesied against the altar and he called fire and so forth and upon him in one place, you know, and all that. And then the Lord had told him that, look, when you finish, don't stop by anybody's house. Don't eat. Don't do anything. Just go by this way. And so, you know, the king asked him to come to his house. He said, no. You see, he was able to discern right away because the king was just the king. He wasn't a man of God. So the young prophet had no reverence in that regard for the king. You know, so he was able to say, no, God told me not to do that. And he rejected that offer. And he stood right there with the word. But then an older prophet came along. You know, so it's exactly in line with what you're saying. The older prophet came along and told him something contrary to what God already told him. But the Bible said, but he lied unto him. And he was telling him in the name of the Lord. So, yeah, I'm also a prophet. And he was actually an older prophet. He was a big brother, pastor, or whatever. I don't know. Whatever title it represents, he was a spiritual leader, a known force. So this man reverenced him. He didn't care about the king. The king could not dissuade him from the word of the Lord. But a bigger prophet could. You know, and when the bigger prophet told him to do something contrary to what God already told him, he succumbed to it. He fell for it. And he paid very dearly for it. You know, when he got into the house of that older prophet that had deceived him, the same man that deceived him brought him judgment again and said, because you have disobeyed the word of the Lord, wherein I told you, don't stop, don't eat, don't do this, don't do that. And now you have done it. You know, your carcass will fall by the wayside and all that, you know, and judgment came upon him. So this is a very serious lesson. You know, stay with the word. You know, when the word of God, and that's the problem, people can't hear from God. You know, of course, when somebody can't hear from God, they don't know how God is dealing with them. They don't understand the voice of God. They are going to be prone to all this, my leader said or my leader didn't say. Reverence your leaders. You know, obey the Lord. Reverence your leaders, you know, submit yourself, Bible says, you know, to them, but only in the way of the Lord. You know, we submit to them as long as what they are saying is submitted to God themselves. But if God told you something and some leader or some man or prophet or angel told you something different, you better stay with what God told you, because we see that lesson in 1 Kings 13 for that very reason. And these things are in the Bible for our admonition. You know, so everyone should learn to hear from God. Now, for those young believers,
who haven't learned to hear from God. They should go through their spiritual, they can go through their spiritual leader, and spiritual leader can help them along. But if they knew what's good for them, what they will be telling them is, listen, you need to figure out how God is speaking to you. And when he speaks to you next, this is how you should say. This is what they should do. They should train the people not to be dependent on them, but to be dependent on the Lord. They should send the people back to the Lord, just like Eli did for Samuel. Sent him back. I said, okay. This is what you do when next he calls you. This is how you answer. This is how you respond. Make sure you are available for his call. And you begin to train him what to do. You know, this is what a real true leader should do. But when the people try to insert themselves as though they are something special, you know, and nobody can do anything unless you say so, unless you bless what they are doing. What is that? You know, that is idolatry. You know, so let me put it right there. Let me put it out right there. That's idolatry. The only person that we must absolutely obey without question is the Holy Spirit. You know, but, you know, some person that is trying to put himself in that position. Now, the leader may not have put themselves in the position. Maybe it's just a person, the follower who is doing that, and they don't recognize that. So, but we have to turn them back and teach them to follow the Lord. But if it is a leader that is inserting themselves and it has become a culture and a tradition where, you know, unless your leader blesses whatever it is that you want to do, even if God has told you to do it, you know, that is bondage, you know, in my own opinion. You know, and I think also I have the Spirit of God. That is bondage, and people need to get away from that, because you are going to answer. The Bible says every man of us. So then every one of us will give account of himself to God. Your pastor, your spiritual leader will not give account for you. You know, you will give account for yourself. And what did you do with the word of the Lord that the Lord gave to you? You know, and so forth. And there are, you know, there are other answers that I can give, but for the sake of time, let me leave it there so other people can speak. But I think, I hope, Sister Phyllis, that I did address that.
Absolutely, yes. It's very widespread, especially in the area that I'm in. It's a lot of idolatry going on, and people would prefer to obey the voice of their leader versus obeying the voice of God. And it's more widespread, and it's very heartening to hear people feel like they can't move, they can't do anything, even though God is trying to tell them to do something. Well, my leader hadn't released me yet. I can't go and do whatever it is that they're calling me to do. And it's really sad, it's heartbreaking that we have put these leaders as idols, and that's exactly what it is. So thank you. You were very clear in your explanation, and I love the reference you had given in 1 Kings about how the young prophet disobeyed the voice of God to listen to the older prophet and how it cost him his life. So we have to really be careful on who we are listening to. And like you said, if God is talking to us and telling us to do something, and we go to our leader need not to be trying to discourage us from it. They need to be trying to help make sure that we are equipped to go out and do whatever it is that they called us out to do. So thank you so very much. I appreciate your explanation, and it was extremely clear to me. Thank you.
Amen. God bless you, Sister Phyllis. Yes, equipping the saints for ministry. That's what leaders should do. Ephesians chapter 4 tells us in verses 11 to 13 exactly that. And all the ministerial gifts and offices, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, you know, were given for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. You know, work of the ministry to build people, equipping the saints for ministry. That's what it's all about. So I like the way you put that. The leaders should be equipping us for ministry and telling the people, you know, how to get closer to God and how to yield to God. Now, tradition, unfortunately, is what put people in the box that you are describing. And it's hard for people to get out because they subscribe to that tradition. And I don't know how to help them there, because that's the tradition. That's the one that they put their neck under, you know, and they put their neck under that tradition.
That's what their culture says. That's what their denomination says. That's what whatever says. But the apostles in the early days said, isn't it better for us to listen to God than to listen to man? You know, so, you know, but, you know, this is what we need now. We need to listen to God. And every true man of God, a real true leader, will tell you that their role, you know, their role is in getting people developed to follow Christ. You know, that's the real, you know, that's how you tell a real leader from the Lord. That's the real fruit of the leader, you know, because they are bearing fruit. The fruit is you're making them dependent on the Lord and not yourself. But while we are there in that role, in the capacity that God put us in, we guide the people. We need to guide them and help them to make right decisions. But we must teach them to learn to hear from God. This is absolutely critical, that people must learn to hear from God on their own. So thank you for coming to the stage and share. Pastor Tokes, so good to see you. Welcome, man of God. Click that little mic and then you can speak. Good to see you.
Good to see you. Good to see you, sir. It's been a wonderful one. Well, where I am, it's evening. Sister Phyllis said good afternoon, but from my side, it will be good evening. This is about 12 minutes after 7 o'clock in the evening here. The topic that you really ministered on today, it has been a very topical one for me. I do a lot of work in the southern part of Africa. As you go deeper towards the southern part of Africa, what you see is a mess. You see where, what I can call syncretism, where people have found a way of mixing African tradition and practices into Christianity, and may I call it, it shouldn't be called Christianity, it should be perverted Judaism, so that they can have a hold on the people. You come to this area, you see the elevation of titles. Apostles, people are really after titles rather than function. All right? And so when they have these big titles, they want to lord it over the people, and most of the time you got to follow the money trail. If you look at that particular situation, when Moses went to the Lord, how did Aaron put together that golden calf? You notice that people gave out their golden earrings and all that. It has to do with the money trail. In this side of the world, it's all about, how to have more money, how to be able to boast that I control some. I was in a gathering yesterday and we were praying, and somebody was praying and decided to pray for me and was praying that, oh, they have not known you yet. They will know you all over the world and whatever. At a point, I wanted to stop him, but after we finished praying, I went to meet him and I said, listen, ministry is not about being known all over the world. I don't care if anybody knows me. What is important is that the people that I minister to are blessed and they become plantings of the Lord and they become trees of righteousness. It doesn't matter whether anybody knows anybody. There is coming the judgment seat of Christ when all of us will be rewarded according to what we have done. Now, like we said, the problem is that people are not taught to be conscious of these four layers of satanic powers over everybody. Powers, principalities, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. Bearing, bearing pressure on everyone. And so if people are not taught to be unconscious of that and fight the fight of faith individually, when people are not ready to fight the fight of faith, they must depend on someone. They will crave to have somebody who tell them, this is what God is saying, this is what God is saying. And this is where I clash with a lot of preachers in Southern Africa. You hardly can hear anybody want to have me in their church, because every time I minister there, it's like I scatter them. Because I tell them, you cannot go on like this. The people must learn how to walk by faith, how to know that God is speaking to them and God desires to hear them. And if they are ready to listen, God will speak to them. The ministry of the prophet in the Old Testament, the functions, the bandwidth of the function of the prophet in the Old Testament is not exactly the same bandwidth in the New Testament. In the New Testament, the ministry of the prophet is to also, apart from edifying, it's also to confirm what God has already spoken to you. If you don't mind, I'll share a particular situation when Agabus, the man called Agabus, in a worship session, came up and he saw the girdle of Paul. Apparently, he didn't know it was the girdle of Paul. And he said, the owner of this girdle, this is what will happen to him when he gets to Jerusalem. This is what's going to happen to him if he goes to Jerusalem. Full stop. He did not say, do not go to Jerusalem or go to Jerusalem. He only spoke the mind of God. Now, if you remember, the Lord had already spoken to Paul at the early part of his ministry. When he went to the house of Ananias, the Lord had already told him what was going to happen to him in his ministry up to the point he would go to Jerusalem. So, Agabus only confirmed what God had already spoken to. God had already spoken to Paul. I tell people, I said, listen, if you tell me anything you tell me and you're expecting me to be wild, then it means that you don't think I'm a child of God. God speaks to me too. Well, if you speak to me and it does not line up what I have already had, either inspired knowledge about or revelation knowledge about, then I'll put it on one side until God confirms it to me. I don't care whether you're a prophet or apostle. All right? And this is the training that many of the children of God ought to have. And, sir, I think the basic thing is that we don't have teachers in the body. Nobody wants... Listen, in the fivefold, the way I see it in this side of the world is that they have taken this... fivefold ministry, apostle, prophet, pastor, evangelist, and teachers, they look at it like a hierarchical system of governmental system of the world. And so you go out, you see somebody say, I'm apostle so-so-so. This one say, I am a prophet so-so-so. This one, I'm evangelist so-so. This one is pastor. You hardly can hear anybody say, I'm teacher so-so-so. Because as far as they are concerned, the teacher is the lowest in the rank. Unfortunately for them, it is the teaching ministry that builds everybody. It is the teaching ministry that builds everybody. Without the teaching ministry, you will build a house on a faulty foundation that will collapse. That's where you now hear people call themselves apostles start dishing out principles that don't match the scriptures. They tell people in this place, go and bring a ram, go and wash at the sea, go and do, because they themselves are not taught. They just pounced on one kind of anointing and they go about oppressing people all over the place. In this part of the world, oh boy, some years ago, there was a man, he's still alive now, they call him a prophet, so. And I was listening to him, and he said, prophets are supposed to be respected. Prophets are powerful. Prophets are this. You know what? He blew my mind when he said, prophets, God is even afraid of prophets. That there was a time God wanted to backslide. And it was a prophet that counseled God before God could be restored. I thought I didn't hear well.
Wow.
Sir, this man said there was a time God was about to backslide. And you know what he was referring to? When God was expressing his displeasure against Israel and said, I was doing this, I will do this. And Moses started pleading with God. As far as he was concerned, he said Moses counseled God. Moses had to preach to God and counsel and get God restored. I thought that was abominable. But you'll be surprised that people are still rushing after such people. So what we do here is that we just concentrate on teaching the people of the word. But these spiritual powers don't want people to read the word. They don't want people to pray on their own. They want them to have communion with the Spirit. When people don't have communion with the Spirit, they don't know when to know. They don't know how to hear God. If you don't know the word of God, you have no right to go and seek any man to speak the word to your life. Because how do you know what he's saying is lines up with the word of God? So I teach people, before you start hearing prophets, hear the word of God, the written word. Understand the written word. Let's teach you the written word. When we teach you the written word, learn how to converse and have communion with the Holy Spirit. When you have communion with the Holy Spirit, then you can easily discern when somebody, you sense the difference when somebody is telling you something else that does not match the word of God. There is a servant of God in Nigeria here, very, very much known, you know, he has a lot of things, He kept on preaching somewhere, and he said, Apostle Paul died in Jerusalem because he disobeyed the Holy Spirit. And I said, what are you saying? And he said, because Agabus prophet, he disobeyed the prophet. And I said, who is the prophet? He said, he disobeyed Agabus. And I said, man. And I said, sir, you are a man of God. I respect you. I said, but use his error. I will not agree with you, and I will stand against you on this matter. Agabus did not instruct Paul not to go to Jerusalem. He never did. And if he had done that, he would have been a false prophet. Because God never said Paul should not go to Jerusalem. God had told Paul that it is Jerusalem that will be the end of his ministry. And Paul embraced it. He knew it. But these days, we have people who will not look at the word, that they will create something that is in their mind because of motives. They want to make merchandise of the people. They want to build empires over people. They want to control the minds of people. And they will speak things that don't match the sound doctrine of the word of God. What do? We continue to pray for them. We continue to intercede and believe God for everyone. Even ourselves too, we still continue to pray. Lord, Lord, this is my prayer all the time. Lord, grant me might in my inner man by your Holy Spirit. The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. As we continue to pray that, our spirit man expands, because this is the most deceptive generation we have ever seen. And if even in the body of Christ there is so much deception, how much more what is going to happen out there? Thank you very much, sir. God bless you, sir.
Wow, Pastor Tokes, thank you for sharing. Yes, in fact, some of the things that you said, you know, I mean, like about 2 weeks or so ago, I gave a lesson here, a sermon on the four you know, the four horns and the four carpenters, and it was all those same things that you talked about, you know, those spiritual wickedness, rulers of the darkness of the world, the powers of, you know, the world, and all so forth like that, you know, and how God gives us the anointings to, you know, to combat them. And we must be trained in those things, you know. So thank you so much for sharing some of all of the things you said, you know, is what we've been saying here. That, you know, we're not saying that there are, you know, and even when I taught on the lesson of hearing from God, you know, maybe 3 or so weeks ago, I forget what title it was, we spoke the same story of Agabus, and I always use it, you know, tell people. And I completely agree with you, and I'm going to read it to people in Acts chapter 21, you know, verse 10. You know, he says that, you know, this Agabus man, when they were there, the Bible says that they were praying and so forth. Philip was there with his daughters, prophesying and all that. And as we tarried many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come to us, he took pearls girdle, bound his own hands and feet, and said, "Thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this girdle, and shall deliver him to the hands of the Gentiles." And then when we heard these things, both we and of that place, we besought him not to go. And that's what the man said. You know, so like Pastor Tok said, that's all the man said. You know, God showed him, you know, what was going to happen. You know, but God already told Paul, you know, but Paul also had a choice at that point in time. You know, he had a choice, you know. So, I mean, it is nonsense for somebody to say that Moses was instructing God. Who has been the Lord's instructor? Known the mind of the Lord as you should instruct him. I mean, these people, they don't know the word of God. You know, and what you see today is this, like you were saying, this hierarchy of everybody. You know, I've seen people who were once prophets. Now, all of a sudden, they are now apostles, you know, because so many other prophets sprang up. So they now have to be apostle, you know, to be on top of them. You know, so it's just this whole thing. Everybody says, oh, if you are an apostle, if you are a prophet, then I'm an apostle. If you're an apostle, you're a prophet. One man told me one time, he told me that because he came to our church, he was parading himself as a prophet around the whole place. Came off the street, I don't know where he came from. I was trying to pull people aside and prophesy to them, and I corrected him. And I stopped him. You know, I called him later to talk to him, and he was, I called him on the phone, you know, and he was telling me that, you know, that I didn't even know what I was doing, you know, that I went against God. That he is a prophet and I'm only a pastor and that he's above me. He told me that he's above me and all of that, that I'm a pastor. Who am I to even try to correct him? And I said, you know, you're a prophet. And I told the guy, I said, look, you're welcome to come to the church. But the next time you come and you do this kind of thing, I will have you arrested. I said, you know, the buck stops here. If you don't come to church and do this kind of thing in my church, in my service, among my congregation, and then you tell me this kind of nonsense, you know, that was the end of the guy. And it turned out that this guy, he doesn't have a home church. Got kicked out of everywhere, you know, going around parading himself. They have no discipline. They have no training. You know, I don't know what come upon them. They say we have the anointing. And this is the same thing that we see on this app. When I first came on this app about a little over a year ago, I have never seen as many prophets or heard as ever. I didn't even know we had that many prophets, which I said, oh, it's a great thing. You know, if they are true prophets, that's fine. You know, the more the merrier, you know, the king, it's a multitude of people, so king's glory. But, you know, when I began to listen, and then there are apostles and this and that, there was no substance at all. I mean, just like Pastor Tokes was saying, there was no substance. There was no teaching. There was just all this noise, you know. And the Bible says, you know, it was just noise, tinkling brass. It's all it was, you know. And we know this parable that says the empty barrel makes the loudest noise. It was just noise. We were just shouting, speaking tongues, doing this and that. And, you know, that was like, so I'm waiting to hear some real substance. I'm waiting to hear some teaching. But I'm not hearing any. I'm just hearing all this stuff, you know. So I got out of those rooms. I was like, well, you know, I don't think this is what, you know, we are here to do.
So, you know, I started to find a way to do my own rooms where I can teach the word of God. You know, whether it's just a few people or many, it doesn't matter. But teach the word of God. And the people can check it out from the scriptures, see whether it aligns with the word, not just presuming to say things in my mind. So thank you so much for your share. It's not only, you said, the southern part of Africa. It is worse here in the United States. It's the same thing that is happening here. But Jesus warned us in Luke chapter 16 and verse 15. He said, the things which are highly esteemed among men, they are an abomination to God. All these titles, you know, the accolades and so forth. And titles have become something else now today. You know, people get promoted in these titles. You know, you'll be promoted from prophet to apostle. You'll be promoted from evangelist to prophet. Then you'll be promoted from this to that. You'll be promoted. I mean, you've been there long enough, then you become something else, you know, so that you can keep going higher in the hierarchy. Is this what God, you know, instituted? Was that how it was? So, you know, this is all the things that we need to call out. And thank you, Pastor Tokes, for sharing. Benjamin, it is good to see you again. Welcome.
Blessings, Pastor Yato. Blessings, everybody. It's been a long time, yes. So on that subject, what I wanted to share is that so a few years ago, I really need help and I needed deliverance and all of that, and I just discovered about prophecy and speaking in tongues and all those things. And at that time, I was tormented by the devil. So I was on an application that was called Periscope at the time, and I was shocked to see that sometime I was on a live, so I was running from places to places and I was excited about prophecy and all of that. It was something that I was discovering, and I discovered that sometime people were giving me a word that was on point, I would say, that was true, but most of the time they will ask you money, like if you need deliverance, if you need healing, you will have to pay, you know. So I was shocked, and I had to face a lot of jealousy and mockery and rejection. So I believe that's what is also happening to a lot of people at the day of today. And what helped me, and I believe what will help people to not be deceived, is we will always have to come back to the same things, in the sense our relationship, getting to know Jesus for who he is and nothing else, not for what he can give us, but for who he is, and by love, and to the word of God. It's the rallying point. And if you spend time in the word of God, not only reading it, but studying it, you will not be deceived, because sometimes you can hear things on different platforms, and if people have read the word of God, they would have known that that thing is not correct, that it is not in the Bible. How to say that? Bear with me, I'm French, so I'm sorry if I'm taking a little time to speak. Sometimes I can be seeking my words. Okay, I'm thinking, I will give an example. Like there is a woman on that platform that says that she's a prophetess, and you know, she will speak about the word of God and speak in tongues and all of that, and sometimes she will tell you to like break coconuts or break eggs or things like that, and a lot of people will be there and be listening to that person, and it's really a danger. Today the topic was being deceived, deceiving and being deceived. It's, so let's put money on the side, I will say, but it can be dangerous to be in some places, because evil spirits are moving behind the scenes, And if you are in those places and you listen to the wrong people, it can affect you. So by spending time in the presence of God, seeking Him, He will give you discernment so that you will not be deceived. You will just know through the Holy Spirit that it's not a good place, or and by the Word of God, you will know that that thing that that person is teaching is not from the Bible, it's not correct. So that's what I wanted to share. Lord, help me. So in my situation, I was a few years ago, what helped me was seeking God, spending time praying in the Spirit, listening a lot of teachings on YouTube by men of God. I know they are, I would say, true. And so it's a safe place, it's a secure place. And also spending time reading ebooks, Christian ebooks. So I believe that's what believers need to do so that they can grow and they will not be deceived. Thank you for letting me speak.
Hey, thank you, Benjamin. Yes, you know, I wish I can speak French as well as you can speak English. That would be great, you know. There was a time when I was a young man that I used to be able to speak French. But, you know, if you don't speak a language for a long time, you just lose it. You know, I used to be, you know, when I was growing up, you know, when I was in high school and all that, I did French and I could speak it. I could converse in it. After a few years, all I could do was read it. You know, I could not, you know, have a conversation with colloquial French. But I could take my time and read it, because when you read it, you can process it and figure it out. But when people speak it so fast with their own thing, you can't even figure it out anymore. So, but you are doing great, you know, speaking English like this. You know, that's really awesome. Yeah, you communicated very, very clearly. You don't even have to worry about it. You were very clear. You communicated yourself very clearly. And I thank you for what you shared. It is important for us, you know, to study the Word. You know, and when you see signs that, you know, signs of danger, you know, the thing I always tell people is Isaiah 8:20. Always go back to the Word, to the law and to the testimony. That's the Word of God. If they speak not according to this Word, it's because there is no light in them. That's what the Bible says. But people don't do that. You know, you have to, you know, always check, cross check everything with the Word of God. You know, so, and this business of, and I like what you said, like, even, you know, apart from even the money issue, which is, you know, a problem, but even then, a seducing spirits, you know, that, you know, when you open the portal and put yourself under, you know, the person, then you open the gateway for these spirits to come and begin to manipulate your life. So we got to be very careful. It's time for the people of God to grow out of this ridiculous stuff, and you know, stand up for the truth, know the right thing, disengage from these you know, these practices. You really can't help, you know, some of these so-called preachers and seducers. You can't really help them, but we're trying to help the people underneath, you know, to say, look, you know, save yourself from this untoward generation. Basically, save yourself from these seducers. But we pray also that, you know, some of them will reach a level of repentance and turn their hearts back to God. You know, but it is very important for every one of us to stand in the knowledge of the truth. We have to stand in the knowledge of the truth. And like Jesus said, you know, he said, well, ye shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. I tell people that the truth by itself does not set anybody free. It is the truth that you know that can set you free. If you don't know the truth, it's not going to set you free. I mean, if the truth sets everybody free, then everybody in the world should be free, you know, because the truth is there. But not everybody is free because they don't know the truth, you know. So we must know the truth. And to know the truth, we have to take time. Even Paul, when he was mentoring Timothy, you know, he would tell him, he said, look, give yourself, you know, to attendance, to reading, to studying. Give yourself wholly to them. Let no man
you know, despise your youth. And the reason how they are not going to despise your youth is for you give yourself attendance, you give yourself attendance to read it. You know, learn the truth, know the truth for yourself, you know, and so on and so forth. So it is important for us to know the truth. And I thank you for coming to share. God bless everyone that that has been here. And let me just quickly go around the room and acknowledge people again. So good to see you, Bray and Sister Martins, Watkins, sorry. Good to have you. Good to have you, Sister Joke. God bless you. Samantha, God bless you. And Sister Yinka, good to see you. I don't know how long you've been there, but good to see you. Marina, good to see you. Yinka, Michelle, you know, and everybody on stage, good to see you. And I don't know, you know, Ani, are you there? Can you speak now? I called you earlier. Okay, I don't, maybe she may be distracted with something else. All right, well, someone is trying to raise their hand, and I'm trying to bring them up. Not sure. Can you raise your hand again? Okay, it was Samantha. Okay, so I'm trying to bring you up here, Samantha. So let me see if this will work. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't work. Okay, there you are. All right, well, welcome, Samantha. It's good to see you. I know I've seen you in some of our rooms before, but I don't see you as following any of our clubs. Please do that so we can continue to stay connected. Anyway, welcome. Welcome to the stage. What's in your mind? God bless you.
Thank you for having me. I'm driving, so excuse me if I'm not as focused as I want to be. But blessings to everybody, and thank you for having me. And I just want to say thank you for this room. God is good, because I was feeling this way. And it's just very disheartening sometimes to see people. I mean, it's one thing, you know, the Bible says, you know, you should, you know, have something for the prophet. You know, I believe, you know, you're supposed to have an offering. And even in the Old Testament, I mean, that's probably in the Old Testament. Please correct me if I'm wrong, because, you know, I'm just a baby in this, really. But I do, and I don't have a problem with that, but I just feel like this is so, needed, because sometimes I don't have an offering, and, you know, I'm just in a room, and I've actually had, people get angry at me because I don't have an offering. And, you know, it's just, and then I've heard things like, you know, people saying that they have even sown their rent money, and I'm just like, really? Like, you know, it just becomes heartbreaking, because, you know, this is not God. Like, God, the people are coming here to prophets and apostles for help, for spiritual help, for guidance, even sometimes for necessities. So how can you, you know, ask people to give their rent money? It's heartbreaking. But I also wanted to say that, yes, it is true that you should definitely learn how to say no. I'm definitely receiving that today. And also the fact that, I'm sorry, I'm losing my frame of thought because I'm driving, but...
Oh, that's okay. We want you to be safe on the roads there. So keep absolutely your eye on the road.
Absolutely. So just, you know, hearing that I need to learn to say no more is very important. And also I have had that experience too, where I have been, you know, they've tried to, like, some churches and communities have tried to like put me in bondage. Like everything you have to ask your pastor, you have to ask your pastor for everything. I'm just like, I can't live like this. You know, I can, and I've been prophesying too, and I, you know, I would never speak ill about any prophet that prayed for me or tried to help me because, of course, you know, I wouldn't want to do that. But at the same time, sometimes I, you know, I'm led by the Holy Spirit. You know, I have my own relationship with the Father, and that's the whole point. And so there were times that I found myself, you know, I remember a prophet told me, you know, I should go to Florida. I should move to Florida. And I'm just, you know, the Holy Spirit would not allow me to go. And sure enough, you know, look at Florida now with this devastation that's happening in Florida. So I just, it's important to have this because people's lives and their walk with Christ is at jeopardy at times. So it is important to pray for discernment. And that is exactly what I have found myself having to do after, you know, being in some of these rooms and giving, you know, just being around some in Clubhouse. And, you know, I'm not going to say that it has, I've learned a lot. So I thank God for that. But I also, you know, think that this is very much, and I like the way that it's not being done in a accusatory way or in a way where you are talking badly about others, because I've seen that too. So I thank you for hearing this afternoon. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Samantha. Please be safe out there on the roads. You know, please take time to study the Word of God. You know, there are some things that people throw out. There's a lot of traditional things that people say that are not even the Bible at all. You know, so, you know, this business of taking a gift to the prophet and all of that, you know, we're not commanded to do that. I don't know where people get it from. But, you know, they used to do that in the Old Testament. They'd say, you know, they want to go and see Samuel, you know, well, we can't go empty handed. Saul did that and all that. You know, there's no such commandment for us in the scriptures, you know, in this place that we are now. Now, Jesus did say, you know, that, you know, if you give a cup of water and all of these things, you will receive the reward. And it's not just to a prophet. If you do it to any of the least of these, Jesus said that, you know, you do it to any of the least of these, you've done it to me. You know, but more so importantly, the one thing that Jesus said to the man in Mark chapter 10 that came to him to ask him, you know, what shall I do to inherit eternal life and all that stuff? And he said, and Jesus said this and that. And the man said, well, I've done all of these things from my youth and all. You know, and the Lord looked at him, and the Bible said the Lord actually loved the man, you know, because the man had really done those things. And Jesus turned around and said to him, look, but there's one thing yet that you lack, you know, and go and sell that you have, you know, and give to the poor. Jesus didn't say, go and sell that you have, and give it to some prophet. You know, he said, go and sell that you have and give it to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and then come and follow me. You know, so, you know, some of these things that we come up with or people come up with, I don't know where they find them in the Bible, but people say these things, you know, because it suits them. And, you know, people carry it on as a tradition and so on and so forth. You know, but definitely we're trying to set the record straight in this room, in our room here, set the record straight. Know what the Word of God teaches. Yes, there's a role for the prophet. Yes, there's a role for apostles, you know, evangelists, pastors, teachers, and all of that. You know, but like we've said repeatedly here, you know, nobody should ever be going, you know, we're now in the New Testament, right? The Holy Spirit has been given. He's the instructor. People should not be going to some prophet or somebody to give them, you know, direction for major aspects of their life. I'm saying a lot of people do that.
You know, so somebody comes to tell you to come and move to Florida, or come and somebody tell you to come and do what is that all about when God hasn't told you that? You know, I mean, are we now bastards that we cannot hear the voice of God from our Father directly? And what kind of thing is that? You know, God may send them to confirm the word when you are dilly-dallying on something that God has already told you, but it won't be the first time that you are hearing it. You know, if it's the first time that you are hearing it, then you need to put it aside, you know, and let God tell you. And God's not going to hold you responsible, not in this New Testament, for something that, and I've told people that before, you know, I've told many times. You know, God told you that, but didn't tell me. You know, I'm not responsible for what God told you. I mean, that's you. Go do whatever. And people can claim to God told them to do anything. I'm not going to argue with them. I mean, God can tell people to do crazy things. He did that in the Bible. You know, so I won't argue with them. But you don't come and tell me that, or don't make it a doctrine. You know, don't come and tell it in the church. That's between you and God. If you bring it to church, we're going to judge it. That's what the Bible says. And if you bring it to me, I'm going to judge it. You know, but if you claim that that's what God told you, you know, that's fine. That's between you and him. Yeah, I wasn't there when he told you or didn't tell you. So I'm not going to bother my head about that. But don't come and tell me something, you know, that God didn't tell me if it's about my life. And don't come and tell it to the church. We're going to judge it if you say it in the church. That's what the Bible says. Let the prophet speak two or three and let others judge. You know, so the lessons that we are sharing today, hopefully people are catching it. Let's have our spiritual senses discerned so that we can discern, exercise to discern good and evil. Let's have spiritual discernment. Let's know that, look, deceivers are out there. And yes, I tried not to come out here and speak bad about anybody in particular, but just trying to call out the issue. And I also gave the example in Judges chapter 5 of the angel that appeared to to Joshua and told him that I'm the captain of the Lord's host. So Joshua asked him the question, are you for us or for our adversaries? And he said, no. One no to two questions. So I'm not here for anybody. I'm not here against anybody. I am just here to deliver the word of the Lord. You know, so that's what the captain of the host said. I'm here as the captain of the host. It's not about you or your enemies. You know, so I'm not here for be against somebody or be for somebody. No, no, no. That's the farthest thing. We are here to deliver the word of God. And let him that hath an ear hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. And when we hear, let's take heed how you hear, because you won't say you didn't know. And if you know, right now we have the Bible and we have the Holy Spirit. So nobody has any excuses to say that, oh, I didn't know. Well, you should know, you know, because we are given the scriptures so that we should know. So, and like Pastor Tok said earlier, we lack, the body of Christ lacks teaching, real teaching. It's a lot of prophesying and a lot of stuff and a lot of shouting and so forth. But real teaching, bringing the word of God, putting it, making it plain. You know, remember how Jesus used to teach in the days of his ministry. I mean, Jesus always, just simple words. When he would talk about the man that built his house on the rock, the man that built his house on the sand, he would talk about rain, he would talk about seed, he would talk about wheat, he would talk about bread, stone, serpent, fresh, you know, egg or scorpion. He just used natural words all the time. He didn't try to be mysterious. In fact, he told Nicodemus, look, if I've told you of earthly things and you don't believe, what are you going to do if I start telling you serious stuff? So he tried to keep it simple all the time. But simple, there's a purpose for it. It's not just simple, it's plain. We got to make it plain. That's what God told Habakkuk. Make the vision plain. Write it plainly so that people that can get a hold of it can run with it. So Paul said the same thing. He said, knowing the terror of the Lord, we use great plainness of speech. We have to use plainness of speech. We just put it out there. We need to teach the people plainly, so that people can know the truth. And it is the knowledge of the truth that sets people free. So this is what we are trying to do in this room, is put it out there.
teach it plainly. Don't be mysterious about it. We just teach it plainly. But we call it the way it is. You call a spade a spade. You know, just call it the way it is. But more importantly, we're trying to teach people to learn to develop that relationship with the Holy Spirit themselves. You must hear from God directly. This was the greatest problem of the children of Israel. They did not want to hear from God. They told Moses, you go and hear and come and tell us. And this is, you know, you saw the end result of all of that. You know, so no, we must not do that. We must hear from God ourselves. And that's the lesson that we're trying to, that will help us to discern all these evil doers who are seducers, who are getting worse and worse. When we ourselves know the word of God, nobody will hold you, you know, at ransom for the word of God. You know, the word of God, you know, it's like there's a famine for the word of God in the land, and people are holding that word as a ransom. I don't even think it's the word, but they, you know, they make like it's the word. They say, we got a word for you. So they hold you at a ransom until you pay for it. You know, what kind of stuff is that? You know, so I, listen, I don't like to preach myself, but since we're on the subject, I'll tell you, I'm out here preaching every day on this clubhouse. You know, I've been doing this for years, and I don't ask anybody for any money. Because we're not doing it for, you won't even find, you know, people have asked me this, and I said, no, you won't even find how to give cash in my, go and look at my profile. You will not see Cash App. You will not see anything on how to donate any money. Because I'm not here for that. I actually have a job, you know, I got a good job that I do. I don't need anybody's money, you know, so I'm out here. You know, because nobody is paying me, I can teach the word of God, you know, without fear or favor. I don't care, you know, I'm not looking for, I went to a place some years ago. I went to the Bahamas to go and consult, you know, conduct some, you know, miracle rally and some teachings for some pastors and so forth, some years ago. And so we were in the meeting, we were having this group of pastors, and I was teaching them, you know, about obedience to the Holy Spirit and not just, you know, allegiance to their denomination, you know. And one pastor after that called me aside and asked me some questions. And I said, well, look, if you're always thinking about your wallet or your the size of your purse, you will not be able to preach the gospel. And that's exactly what it was. You know, he said, well, if we say all these things, then people won't, you know, people won't come, or people won't, you know, give an donate. And I just looked at him and I said, look, you know, if that's, if you're doing it for that reason, then okay, well, you got your reward, you know, but, you know, that's not the reason why we're called into ministry, you know, so I'm not out here raising money for anything, you know. In fact, sometimes when I teach, you know, I have to make sure that people know that I'm not trying to raise any money for anything, you know, don't give me any money. You want to give money, find a good cause and go give it to that, you know. I'm not collecting any money from anybody. But we need to tell you that truth. That truth is what you need. What is my benefit? It's kind of like Pastor Tok said. You know, what is our benefit? The Bible says, in as much as you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the body of Christ. Our benefit is that we're building up the body of Christ, you know, and letting people, you know, come to the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ. You know, if I can be a part of that process in somebody's life, you know, then that's blessing enough. You know, that's all there is to it. You know, we don't need anybody to pay me for that. Now, there's some people that need to get paid for that, and that's okay. You know, that's their business. But for me, it's about getting the word of God out. Just get the word of God out to the people, and I can answer the question as best as I know it, freely, without thinking that if I cut it too hard, somebody will, I will lose their offering. No, I can tell it to you the way it is without thinking whether you're going to give me an offering or not, because I have to tell it to you the way it is. And if you gave me, yeah, here's another way I look at it. If I deliver a good message and people pay me for it, then I have my reward. You can't, you know, I was chatting with a brother 2 weeks ago, and I said, look, you cannot get your reward twice. Jesus said, you have your reward. You know, so you can get your reward now, you know, or you get your reward later. You know, if I get my reward now because of accolades and people tell me how great I am and stuff like that,
you know, and then they, you know, sow and deposit and do all this lingo which they use these days. Well, I have my reward, you know, and that's it. And that may be good enough for some people, but I want a greater reward. The greater reward is seeing people come to the Lord, seeing lives of people change, seeing, you know, people understand and having truth and the truth setting them free. And the things that we put before you, Paul said to Timothy, the things I tell you, find faithful men to put it to them as well. Then becomes a ripple effect. You teach somebody, they understand the truth, they teach somebody else. That's how we got here today. Jesus only taught 12 people, at, you know, initially, you know. So, and look at where we are today. So that's what it's all about. Thank you, everyone, so much for joining. Let me see if anybody posted anything that I may have missed. Glory to God.
Pastor?
Yes.
Pastor?
Yes, go ahead, please.
I just want to, because of what Sister Samantha mentioned, about this issue of prophets' offering. People of God have challenged many of these people to show me in the Bible where the Bible spoke about prophets' offering, either in the Old Testament or the New, and no one has been able to show me except the case of where Saul was going to meet Samuel, and he said, why should I go and meet the man of God without an offering or something? But I want you to notice that Samuel did not demand for it, neither was it of any consequence to Samuel. Samuel had been told by God, had been informed by God of the impending visit of Saul, and God had already given Samuel what Samuel was going to minister to Saul. So it had nothing to do with the offering at all. And if we are going to go by the law of first mention that Pastor Yato mentioned, had already spoken of tonight, when I did my own research, I found out that the first place where people went to consult another person concerning certain things was the time when the people, the Balak and the people of Midian, they went to consult Balaam. And the Bible was so kind enough to give us what they had in mind. The Bible said they went there with a reward for divination. Reward for divination. What happened was that these practices of going to consult a spiritist with some kind of monetary of material gift had been happening before they even had the knowledge of Jehovah. These were practices that God even, that was one of the reasons why God brought his own understanding. For me, by the grace of God, just like Pastor Yato mentioned, because some of you don't know me, I'm one of the products of Pastor Yato and is the man of God of his generation. I wonder when people go to minister and they go because they are expecting some honorarium, they negotiate some honorarium. I mean, it's so. For me, it's repelling. About 3 weeks ago, I have a regular ministration that I do weekly on the Zoom. I think the ministration of one particular day was so impressive or so impactful. Some young guy called from Canada and sent a text and said, "Sir, could you please send the bank accounts of your ministry? I would like to pay my tithes." And I replied him and I said, you don't give your tithes or pay your tithes to my ministry. I'm not your pastor. My ministry is not your primary place of nourishment. So your tithing belongs to the minister of God that is to the minister of God and the church that are laboring over you. I am only here as a supplement. All right? The man was shocked. And this will not be the first time. Several years ago, I was on TV in Nigeria, and people would call me. They want to pay their tithing to my ministry. And I said, no, you can't. That's not what the word of God says. And so these are things that we need. If we know the word of God, we'll be able to guide people aright. Thank you very much, sir.
Amen. Thank you so much for sharing that. And, you know, I'm reminded as you were speaking, Pastor Tokes, the story in the 2 Kings 5 of Elisha and Naaman and Gehazi, you know. So, you know, Elisha, he did the miracle. He wouldn't take an offering from the man. The man wants to give an offering. Elisha refuses the offering. You know, this is a great lesson. You know, so the man leaves. Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, runs after Naaman, you know, and, you know, lied to him in order to get that, because he was eyeing that those money and those offering and honorarium or whatever it was that Naaman wanted to give to Elisha, which Elisha wouldn't take. And the man ends up taking it. He goes into the house, returns to Elisha. He goes in and hides it and comes back and stands before the prophet. And I just laugh anytime I remember that story. And he pretended like nothing happened. Just eat something and wipe your mouth, you know. So he did everything, hide everything, and come before the prophet. And the man said, look, did not my heart go with you when you went after this man and so forth? You know, is this the time for us to be collecting honorarium and collecting money? Because God did something through us. Is this what we should be doing? He said, well, therefore the leprosy of Naaman will cleave to you. My goodness. Now, even if that is not enough warning, you know, for anybody, I don't know what is. You know, so the leprosy that went away from Naaman, you know, which was already gone. You know, as Naaman went and dipped in the water like Elisha, you know, commanded him. You know, he went and returned upon the head of this Gehazi. So, ladies and gentlemen, no, there is no place, you know, and Sister Samantha, take note, there is no place where we are commanded to give an offering to the prophet. You know, yes, you know, those who labor over us, like Pastor Tok said, you know, well, you know, they labor over you spiritual things. Yeah, you know, give. And one day I was telling an illustration, I said, look, again, to the story that Pastor Tokes told, you cannot go to, you know, Walmart, and send the payment for the thing you bought at Walmart to Macy's. That's not how it works. You know, I gave that illustration to somebody one time, you know, about the same thing. Or you go and eat at your favorite restaurant and you eat there all the time. And you said, well, you know, when it's time for you to pay, I mean, you have an account with them. You say, hey, you know, when it's time for you to pay, you send the money for the meal you're eating to some other restaurant. It doesn't work that way. You know, so the place where you are eating, that's where you pay for the food. The place where you are doing your shopping, that's where you pay for the stuff. You know, so, you know, people who like to jump around, send offering here. Offering is fine. You can send offering. But if you want to really give tithes and so forth, you should give it to the ministry, like he said, that, you know, where is your home ministry, you know, and so forth. But, you know, I try to help people and not, you know, even model it up. One time I went to preach at a friend's, you know, I left from the U.S. and went to Nigeria and went to a friend's place to preach, you know, and I also stayed in their house the night before. You know, so it'd be easier for me to go with them to the services, you know, and I think we had 2-day service or something, you know, and so, you know, they wanted to load me with all kinds of gifts, you know, and I said, well, yeah, are you giving me this gift because I came to your house? Because that's a cultural thing. And it will be rude for me, because this is a thing we do in Africa. Somebody comes to your house, you give them a gift, and it'll be rude for them to not accept it, you know, so that's what we do in our country, in Nigeria. And I said, look, are you giving me this gift because I came to your house? Because I mean, if that's it, I will take it.
But if you are trying to give me this gift because I ministered at your church, I will not take it. And he was trying to give me the gift because I ministered at his church. So he quickly changed it. He said, okay. You know, maybe because you came to my house. I said, no, I won't take it. You know, so because I knew he was trying to give it to me because I stayed, you know, because I preached at his church. And I said, no, you don't need to pay me because I preached at your church. You know, but yeah, but you know, if because I came to your house, you gave me a gift, I'll take it. You know, if you give me a gift because I am staying at your house, you're a guest. This is what we do in our culture. And guests come to your house, you give them a gift, even when they are leaving. We do that. That's our culture. I'll take it. Now, don't give me a gift because I preached at the church. You know, cause what is that for? You know, so, you know, it is important for us to call this thing out and make it straight. We've done our best today to try to discuss this topic. You know, if anybody else still has something they want to share or still have a question, feel free to come and ask. You know, otherwise, we're going to be wrapping up the room. I'm still trying to get my wife's attention to see if she wants to say something. But otherwise, we're going to be wrapping up the room here in a bit, because I've got another room in about 3 hours that we'll be doing our marriage ministry room. And today's topic is just hang out with Pastor Yaro and Lady Ebon. So just hang out. So we're going to hang out, you know. So, but I think it's been an interesting conversation. I want to invite you, if you are not following the Walking with God Club, or you're not a member, join the club. You'll see that title at the top of the screen toward the left. And you see that little greenhouse button. You can, you know, click on that and join. The advantage of that is when we start any rooms under that club, you get notified. Better still, if you're following me as an individual or Lady Ebon, my wife, you will be able to, you know, you'll be notified when we start any room. It may not be under this, it may not be Working with God, it may be House of Faith, maybe some other rooms. We have some other rooms that we do. This morning we did a room, I believe it was under, I don't know if it was Working with God or House of Faith, you know, but you know, whichever one it is, depending on the topic, you know, when you're following, you get correct notification. We want to invite you to join our early morning, well, early for us here, not early for you guys, certainly not early for Pastor Tokes, Mr. Yinka, and the rest of the people in Nigeria, you know, but, you know, we want to invite you, you know, and Sister Mary, Sister Joker was there this morning, early morning rooms. Thank you for joining that. We call it early morning because for me, it's 4:15 a.m. And California is 3:15 a.m. And in New York is 6:15 a.m. So it's still early morning. It's our first fruits, early morning thing. And then, for you guys in Nigeria, it'll be 12:15 p.m. So shortly after noon for you. And those in the UK will be 11:15 a.m. So if you can join, find us sometime in the morning. We're doing some really powerful rooms. You know, we started that series October 1, and we've been doing it every single day since then. I didn't think that we could do it, but we are doing it. You know, but we thank God that we'll keep doing it until God says otherwise. So those are the announcements we have today, and we want to encourage you to stay with the Word, follow the Word only, and, you know, if any man speaks that is not according to this word, then don't be afraid of them because there is no light in them. But if there is light in them, then follow the word. You know, and we encourage preachers as well, ministers, to minister according to the grace of life and to represent Christ. You know, that's what we should be doing. Not representing ourselves and not try to gather anything. You know, but represent Christ, you know, to the people. Praise God. And he, when the chief shepherd shall appear, you know, he's the chief shepherd. He's are the sheep. When he shall appear, he will give reward accordingly. You know, those who have done, who then is that good and faithful servant whom the Lord has appointed to give meat to his house in due season? Well, blessed is that servant whom when his Lord shall come, shall find him so doing.
Verily I say unto you, Jesus said, you know, he will make him ruler over all his goods. But if that servant shall begin to be mean, you know, to the rest of his brethren, and begin to torment them, and oppress them, and seduce them, and afflict them, and make merchandise of them. Those are my words. But it's pretty much what he said. You know, begin to be eating and drinking and carry on and so forth. You know, he said, well, when the Lord of that servant shall come, he will come for him in a day that he thinks not or looks not for him, and I cut him asunder, appoint his portion with the hypocrites. There'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So we don't want that. You know, I certainly don't want that. You know, I pray that the Lord will find me so doing, dishing out this meat to his house, so that when he comes, you know, I'm praying that he will appoint me ruler over something, you know, whatever he finds according to him. You know, so that's our goal, and that's what we hope to be doing by the grace of God. So join us as much as you can and spread the word, you know, as we are doing this, spread the word, invite others to these rooms. You know, it's not about the numbers, but we're trying to get the word out. And if you can get the word out, and I thank some of the people who have been attending our rooms, they have been inviting others, you know, to come. So come and share with us, and let's continue to get the word out. Let's continue to encourage one another. And listen, it's not about you coming to my church or me being a member of your church. We are part of the body of Christ. Remember, Jesus rebuked the disciples for that. We talked about this about, I don't know, three or four mornings ago. You know, so, you know, just because they were not part of their fellowship, they didn't think that what they were doing was right. That's not what it's all about. You know, I know people are coming to our rooms. When they come in and they look at, oh, who's speaking? They don't see, you know, some of the known prophet. Then they just drop out. You know, so to me, that's okay. You know, God will appoint those who will come. We don't have to persuade anybody, you know, but if it's either meant to be here, they will be here. So whether you are part of the church, and I'm not here promoting church either. I try to not even mention the name of my church when I'm here, because, you know, it's not, that's not what it's about. I'm not here trying to promote church. We are here trying to promote the kingdom of God. Yeah. Now I remember that was when we did those, the messages on citizenship and ambassadorship in the kingdom of God. You should listen to those. It's in the replays, parts one and part two. I think it will really bless you. It'll be an eye-opener if you haven't heard those kind of messages before. You know, how we should be kingdom-minded and not just church-minded. How we should think outside the box. So thank you all so very much for joining us. It's been an amazing time to have you here. Cynthia, Sister Martins, God bless you. Sister Mary, Sayinka. You know, God bless all of you for being here. Thank you for your patience. Minister Natalie, good to see you, woman of God. I didn't even realize that you were there. You know, so it's good to have you. If you want to speak, you can raise your hand. I'll bring you to the stage. Marina, God bless you. Aninka, Michelle, and God bless all of you. And thank you, Benjamin, for, sharing, you know, and also, thank you, Pastor Tokes. Yeah, Sister Yinka, come on to the stage. Let me get you up there and come and share something with us. Good to have you here. I hope this thing is working. You know, I sent you an invite. Just click on accept and it will put you right to the stage. Sister Yinka, okay, there we go. So you are on stage now. In order for you to speak, you have to press the microphone button to release it. Right now you are muted. Tap on your microphone button just one time. It's at the lower bottom right hand corner of your screen. Just tap on it one time and then your mic will be open. Then we can hear you. Until you do that, we cannot hear you. Sayinka, are you trying to speak? We can't hear you. Well, you know, these people who are new to this app. I remember Pastor Tokes was struggling with it too when he first came. So, you know, sometimes they can't figure it out.
But if you can figure it out, Sister Yinka, I know you came to the stage. Okay. So, well, I don't know if she can talk. She came to the stage, so I think that means she wanted to talk, but she's unable to do that. And if you're having difficulty with your network, try going out and coming back in. That may work sometimes. Exit the app and come back in. It'll put you right back in the stage when you come back. Let's hope he can figure it out. She can figure it out. Anybody else have anything else to say?
Can I say something?
Go ahead, Benjamin.
Yes, so a few things I wanted to add is that I believe that the abuse, I would say, can be, in, if I can use that term, is in the two senses. It can be like the apostle, the prophet, or the minister of God that is like abusing the people and the believers. And it also can be in the other sense, like the believer, I would say, that is abusing, I would say, the gifts of people and going everywhere and, you know, asking everybody to pray for them and all of that. So I believe the abuse, I would say, I will use that term, can be in the two senses. What I wanted to say also is that when you were saying that true leaders will teach people to hear the voice of God, I was encouraged by that. I'm not saying that I am a leader, and I don't use no title, even if in my bio it's written apostolic and prophetic calling, but I don't use any title. But that's, I was encouraged by those words because that's what I'm trying to do. And I believe that sometimes when you are in a certain place, it can be like the Urim and the Thummim in the Old Testament. Like it will be yes or no. You just know inside of you that yes, you can stay there. It's a safe place. Or no, it's not right. I have to go. And one thing that I do that I have seen working also is to sometimes I will tell people, ask about that person and pray in the spirit. And as you pray in the spirit, how to say that? As you pray in the spirit, expect that God will give you the answer about that situation or that person. And I see that that thing is working. If I can, if I can give an example, a sister that is learning. I'm also learning. Hallelujah. But I prayed for her. That's why I love to pray for people for the gift of tongues. I prayed for her. She received the gift of tongues. And the day after, I see her on Clubhouse. And I knew that she was in a room that was really not good. And you can see on the profile of the so-called prophet, shamanism and all kind of things. And I told her, okay, sister, it's not a good place to be. And I said, pray about it. I said, ask God. Like about that place, about that person, pray in the spirit and tell me what is coming to you. And she did that. And as she did that, she felt fire, but it was a strange fire. Fire is not all the time like Holy Ghost fire and everybody's excited. It can be you can feel fire on yourself, but it will be a strange fire. And she began to sow tongue of snakes and all things and things like that. So God was showing her that it was the spirit of divination. I would say Pastor Tokumbo was speaking about earlier about Balaam and Balak and paying for divination and all those things. So it was to say that I have seen that it's something that is working. Another example, I try to do quick. I know you have things to do after. One day a sister called me and the baby was crying, screaming in the night. And she called me, I was hearing panic in her voice. And she said, okay, can you pray? Can we pray together? And I said, yes, of course. So I prayed on my side. She prayed on her side. She prayed in the spirit. And we both saw like a big leech in the spirit without talking to each other. I saw a leech. She saw also a leech. We pray, it was broken, and finally God revealed that little cover that somebody gave her at a workplace to cover the baby, like, oh, sister, take that gift, it's for the baby. Spirits were attached to that. So it was to share that, maybe it will help somebody, and that's something that I do concerning situation matters or even people. Sometimes I will just sense that, no, it's not good, or yes, it is okay. And sometimes if I'm not sure, like, I will pray in tongue, and as I pray in tongue, I will, God will give me, I will say, an answer about a situation or about a person. I see that it is that it is working. Most of the time when I pray, God talks to me a lot by interpretation of tongues, that's or feelings. I know that God can talk to people in different ways, that the voice of God can be seen, can be heard, and can be felt. So most of the time for me, it will be by interpretation. And my God, Jesus. As we were talking about that, one day I was on that application and there was a false prophet, and he was looking the bio of people, and there was a woman, he said, oh, I see three stars and all of that. And it was written in her bio, she has three children. So the false prophet told her, oh, I see three stars. And she said, oh, that's my children. I have three children. And he was lying and all of that. And the Holy Spirit showed it to me, and I was burning. And after that, that woman prayed for that fake prophet. She prayed for him, and you were able to sense that it was a true prayer coming from the heart. She was praying for him with all her heart. And he just cut it up, you know, like passing to the other person to give another lie. And I was like, oh my God, like, how people don't see that it is wrong, that person is fake. And as I was praying in the spirit, and then I was interpreting with my own words, God led me to Ezekiel 13. Talking about, you know, false prophets and giving false vision and giving lying divination and all of that, and judgment will come upon them and all of that. So I was like, wow. By interpretation, I heard some few words, and when I read and I seek, it was on Ezekiel 13. You know, it also says prophesy against the false prophet, or like in Ezekiel 34, it says prophesy against the false shepherd, or something like that. I'm paraphrasing. So thank you again. Thank you for bringing that subject of today. I believe that sometime, unfortunately, we have to speak about that. Some people will be awakened. Some people will take the decision to finally see God, finally study the Word of God. And unfortunately, the great majority will continue. They will continue to have itching ears. They will continue to do the same thing. Yes, hallelujah. So you hear me whispering in that way, because sometimes I am like, oh my, I don't understand why people don't read the Bible and study the Word, because it's passionate. I mean, it's great, and the Holy Spirit will give you the light on the scripture, and with the knowledge that you have, that's how you can grow, not by receiving prophecies all the time. You need to have some knowledge, the knowledge of the Word, and God will give you also revelational knowledge and of Him. And when you have some certain knowledge, that's how some battles in your life can end. Not by receiving a prophecy. I know by experience that receiving a prophetic word can increase the warfare in your life. hallelujah. So that's what I wanted to share. Thank you for letting me know.
Well, thank you so much for sharing. I know that English is not your first language, you know, but you did very well, you know, so thank you for sharing. That's powerful what you shared, actually. You know, praying in the spirit and letting God, you know, interpret to you and guiding you, you know, with discernment. This is so key. You know, it's so key in the things that we are talking about today. You know, and the Bible says, look, test the spirits. For not every spirit is of Christ, but we need to test the spirits. You know, but, you know, it also doesn't mean that every spirit is not of Christ. You know, so we're not saying that every spirit is not of Christ. Neither are we saying that every spirit is of Christ. You know, but you have to test the spirit. You have to prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. If you find something good, hold fast to it. But you abhor that which is evil. That's what, those are the things that the scripture commands us. So we're trying to bring awareness to these things and calling it out as it is. And thank you so much for sharing. Mr. Natalie, I see that you came up now. So thank you for joining. Good to see you. God bless you. And you may on mic and speak.
Good afternoon, Pastor Yado and Lady Ebon, and greetings to the room. I just wanted to say I love the topic, and you know I love sound doctrine. So I think it's good that you, you know, brought this out and that we are beware of, like the title you have, Alert Seducers, Getting Worse, Deceiving and Being Deceived. And that is absolutely true. And I think the only way that, like you said, you might not said it in these words, but something that you had, you know, just said when you said we have to try the spirits, and every spirit is not of God. And, you know, and it doesn't mean, you said every spirit, some spirits, not every spirit, I'm sorry, you said some spirits may not be of God and some are. And the only way that we're going to know that difference is studying the word of God, you know, and if what a person is saying, because I'm really, really clear about that in any room that I go in. I listen to what's being said. And if what they're saying, if it's not lining up with the word of God, then I know that it's not God's word. And I know that, you know, that's not the Holy Spirit speaking. And I need to, you know, just exit. Now, I'm not saying that they have to come verbatim word from word scripture, but the idea of what they're saying or what they're teaching should line up with scripture. And the only way we're going to know that if we are in the word of God, to know what God's word says. So, you know, because these days, you know, people are not really teaching, you know, or preaching, whatever way we want to say it, sound doctrine. You know, it's all about what you can get, you know, it's all about prosperity, you know, it's just all about the things that we want as humans without, you know, with not knowing Christ, or either if you know Christ, you can be, you know, just in a carnal place, you know, because the Bible speaks about, you know, being carnal and being, you know, spiritual, being, you know, being filled with the Spirit. So basically what I'm saying is, we need the word of God as our God. You know, Apostle Paul has already, you know, prophesied this, you know, years ago, you know, over 2000 years ago, that he said in the last days, you know, that they're going to be, you know, seducing spirits, you know, and, you know, he said that they're going to be teaching doctrines of devils, you know, and they're going to be running to teachers with itching ears. And the rooms like this, you know, are, you know, it's people in here, but I'm saying, but the rooms like this are not like packed. You go in other rooms where man is teaching their own philosophy and people want to hear it. 200 and 300 people in the room. So I agree with you. And I'm not saying at all numbers. I'm you know, I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying when it's sound doctrine, that's where we are. You know, people don't want to hear that. So I'm just going to encourage the whole room to get into the word, to make sure that you're reading the word of God. You eat food every day. You know, if you're not fasting, you eat food every day and probably more than once a day. So that's just a tactic of the enemy too, to try to get into our head or our mind that we don't have time to, you know, get into the word, to, you know, read the word of God, or, you know, to eat the word of God, you know, because that's going to be the thing that's going to root us, ground us. And then we're going to know, we're going to be able to know when it's not God's word. That's not what the Bible says. So, you know, cause I will say, and I don't argue the word of God, but if someone brings up something and they're saying, then I will ask them to show me in the word. And if they can't show me it in the word, then I don't, you know, accept that. And even when I'm teaching, I tell my audience, you know, whether it's Clubhouse or wherever I'm teaching, the same thing, if anything that I'm saying does not line up with God's word, then, you know, don't, you know, ingest it. So that's the, you know, the word that I just, you know, have today for the room, that we don't want to be gullible and just ingesting things that are not biblically sound, you know, that are not Holy Ghost led, you know. So I do thank you, Pastor Yato. I respect you and Lady Ebom, because from the time that I think you guys probably came on Clubhouse, we all came at the same time and we met in the room, the Book of Acts, that you've been consistent and you've been, you know, sharing the word, you and your wife. So the word of God tells us to give honor to whom honor is due. So I just love being in your rooms because I, you know, I love the word of God. So, you know, and so I do encourage, you know, anyone in here to invite others, or when I come in, I came in kind of late today, but to invite others. These are the type of rooms that we want to support, the word, the rooms that are teaching and speaking the word of God, because that's the only way that we can grow. We're not going to grow from just what we want to hear or doing our own thing. We've done that, you know, before Christ, and it didn't do any good. So the word of God is the only thing that's going to grow us. And with that, I release my mic.
Wow. Thank you so much for saying that. And thank you for the honor. I truly appreciate it. And now that you mentioned, you know, the, you know, the Book of Acts. In fact, that was my first, you know, I think it was a convo on faith was the platform, and they were sharing. And I want to just give this testimony of what the Word of God is able to do. You know, my daughter invited my wife to Clubhouse, and she invited me and I didn't join. You know, and I, because I didn't think, you know, I just didn't know what it was. I thought maybe it's just one other platform, you know, like all these social platforms and stuff. But one day she was listening to this Congo on Faith Club, and they were reading the Book of Acts, you know, and she was over by, you know, maybe somewhere around the kitchen, and I'm there in my office, and that's on the same floor. And I could hear her. She had the phone on speaker, and they were saying, and I was kind of listening in. I'm like, my goodness. And they were talking about, they actually, at the end of the room, they were just reading and studying the Book of Acts. And they were just, at the end of the room, they actually invited people to give their lives to Christ. You know, and several people came on that day, you know, and gave their lives to Christ. And I jumped up from my seat. I said, people are, you know, winning souls on Clubhouse. You know, people can actually, you know, and that's, that was how, you know, I said, my goodness, tell me, I got to find that app. You know, and I joined because, you know, whenever it is, whenever there's an opportunity to, you know, turn people from darkness to light, to turn their hearts from the power of Satan to the power of God, you to open their eyes from being blind. When, you know, if I can be a part of that, I love it. And, you know, I'm glad that you mentioned that. I didn't even know that's how we met, but I know we've met on and off since then. And I, you know, and I immediately, when I got into this Clubhouse, like she said, you know, I went to many rooms, you know, and at the end of the day, you know, I had cut back from some of those rooms, you know, and I posted a scripture in the chat room. If you guys all look over there, I posted this is my cardinal scripture that I go by. And I've mentioned it about four times in this room already today. So I just posted it out there. It's Isaiah 8:20, you know, to the law and the testimony. That's go back to the word. If they speak not according to this word, it's because there is no light in them. And remember, this is the message we heard from the beginning, 1 John 1:5, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. So you don't want any part of anything that has no light in it. You don't want any part of that. You know, so we want to always good. And, you know, like Minister and Natalie also said, you know, it's not about, you know, it's not about gathering numbers. You know, we wish more people would hear these things, but we need to faithfully dish the word out, whether it's few or many. You know, Jesus spoke to thousands, but he also spoke to a woman at the well. You know, so we are here doing that. And but we pray that more people would listen into these kinds of things. And it is indeed true. It's an irony that you go into some of these rooms where there is no substance. There's a whole lot of people because they want, you know, people have itching ears and I love this stuff, you know, but there's really no substance there. I mean, if you go there, you listen for a few minutes, it's like, what are they talking about?
There's really no substance. You know, now some rooms have substance, and yes, they still have a lot of people. That's, we're not saying that every room that necessarily has more people means they don't have substance, but it's the substance, you know, of what they are really talking about that matters. Is there any light in them? And gift or no gift, if they do not speak according to this word, it's because there is no light in them, you know. And one day I was reading, I was reading somebody's profile, and I really laughed, you know. And she'd come to my room a few times, you know. So, and I read her profile, and she said, "Look, don't prophesy my profile to me." And I just laughed. And it's so funny that, you know, there's some of these so-called prophets that actually do that. You know, read something in your profile and use that to be prophesying to you and all that. So, you know, but look, listen, I think we have talked about this. We beat it around enough. We know what we're now saying. We have our antennas up. We're not going to let the wool, anybody pull the wool over our eyes. And, you know, sometimes we have to snatch some people, you know, by force out of fire, sometimes gently. You know, we pray that, you know, the gentleness of this teaching, even though it looks simple, will help people, you know, to get themselves straightened away if they've been entangled, if anybody's been entangled. Maybe not necessarily if you are here in this room now, but listen later. You know, if you're listening later to the replay, you're entangled in any of these things, you know, deliver yourself from the entanglement, you know. And for those who are perpetrators of these things, we pray that they will also repent and, you know, have a change of heart and do the right thing by God's people. And, you know, some of these people have no business, you know, even trying to, you know, teach anybody at all, because they don't have the word of God at all. You know, they don't have the word of God, you know. So people just jump up, you know, and speak in tongues for hours, and maybe they lock themselves up in some place and speak in tongues for hours, and then they come, you know, and they have no substance. They have no substance at all. And, you know, the testimony that Benjamin gave tells you that there is value in speaking with tongues when the Holy Spirit, when you are doing it in the Spirit. And it's, you know, he can even interpret things to you and guide you through there. But if you're just doing it carnally, you know, psych yourself up, psych yourself up, psych yourself up, and then come and, you know, talk to the people, and there's no substance, there's no teaching, you just prophesy all over the place and so forth. It may be good, but not good enough. You know, that's itching ears, and we've been warned about that. You know, so let's get sound doctrine that cannot be condemned. You know, we need sound doctrine. And thank you, Sister Natalie, for sharing. You know, I've been in your rooms a few times too, and I hear sound teaching. You know, maybe when you took, you know, some teaching either through the book of Revelation or things like that, you know, sound, you know, we need sound doctrine among the body of Christ. So thank you, everyone, for joining us. It's been a good afternoon here. We're now in the afternoon hours, and I have to take a break now. I got another room for our ministry, marriage ministry room, in a couple of hours. So I got to take a break. And I know for some of you, it's late. You know, in Nigeria over there, it's about getting close to a quarter till 9 p.m. So thank you for joining, those of you that did. And Pastor Tokes, I really enjoyed your share. You know, I'm glad that you are comfortable enough today to share on an important topic like this. And some of the things that you shared were, you know, were so helpful. And I hope it was helpful to people as well. Again, thank you, everyone, for being here. We will be closing the room now. You know, let's all grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, and go from glory to glory as we study his word. You know, we will learn more about him. And the Lord keep us. The Lord cause his face to shine upon us. The Lord bless you in all that you do. Enjoy the rest of the weekend. It's still a good part of the weekend for us where we are. You know, we're only midday through Saturday, so that's still a long ways to go. But wherever you are, enjoy the rest of your weekend. And God bless you. We'll see you again in one of these rooms. And thank you so much for joining. Sister Mary, you know, I know you by a different name, but you've been here from the beginning. Thank you for sticking around. you know, someday maybe you'll figure the app out and join us on stage and share some comments as well. So God bless you. And thank you, Cynthia and Marina and Michelle and Sister Martins. And thank you for those of you who shared some comments, and Yinka as well. And thank you for sharing some comments in the chat room. We appreciate all your comments. Glory to God. So God bless you all, and have a great day, and have a good weekend, and be blessed. And we'll see you back in one of these rooms as we meet again here on Clubhouse. The face of the Lord continue to shine upon your ways. Blessings, everyone. Thank you, Pastor Tokes, as well. Benjamin, thank you. And Sister Yinka, I know she tried to join the stage, but she couldn't. Maybe she'll figure it out next time. And Dana, Sister Dana, you're joining, and we're just about to close. Sorry, you missed this one. She's always in our morning rooms as well. But we are closing this one now. It's been a long couple of hours already. And we're closing. Actually, we've been here 3 hours already. So we are closing this room now. But the replays will be on about 5 minutes after we close. The replays should be there. So if anybody wants to replay, it will be there for you in just a few minutes. God bless you all. And have a great one, Sister Natalie. God bless you. We'll see you again. God bless everyone.